welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian.
No!
Oh, man, big day planned for you kiddies. David Alan Greer. Oh. Dag, my main man. Also, someone I'm excited to meet, and I'm sure you're not nearly as excited as I, Patty Stanger. Who's Patty Stanger? She's the millionaire matchmaker. She's on that show. I don't know if it's VH1 or what it's on. My wife TiVo's it.
Bravo or A&E?
Watch it every single Sunday, and it's a good show. First off, you have no idea how screwed up and how dorky a lot of semi-attractive, rich, 30-something-year-old white dudes are. Like, I always have to bite my tongue because I always feel like turning to my wife when I see the super dorky dude who's, you know, the guy's 39 and he sold a software company 8 years ago for $400 million. And now he's got a place in Europe and he has a place in Malibu and a place in LA and he drives a Lotus. But he's such a goofball, he can't figure out how to get laid.
Socially retarded.
Socially retarded, although a smart guy and an educated guy. And I always have to bite my tongue because I always want to, like, turn to my wife and go, if I were single right now, oh, I would be lying underneath a pile of women right now. I mean, if I, you know, when I drove a beat-up pickup truck, lived in an apartment with two other dudes, and made $8 an hour, I still found a way to get some pretty good-looking chicks. I could do it. I mean, I wasn't, I would never consider myself a ladies' man, but I always had hot girlfriends, and that was super lean years with the hot girlfriends.
If you had the resources that you have now.
If I just had a house I didn't share with eight other people, or a car that didn't have a lumber rack, you know, bolted to it. If you just gave me a Volkswagen Jetta and a condo in Van Nuys, I think I could have pulled down some major league tail. As it was, I always had good looking girlfriends, and I didn't always have a girlfriend. That was part of the problem. But, shocking. But, I nailed a model or two, I'm proud to say, and I did all right. Now, you know, I had a good personality and a good sense of humor, but not that that ever works on a model. But I mean, I always drove piece of S pickup trucks because as much as I wanted to get out of the piece of S pickup truck because my job was carpenter, I had to drive a pickup truck and I couldn't afford two cars. So I was always sort of, it sucks because I was the guy who was pulling up to the date with the pickup truck, with the lumber rack
and the big toolbox.
Yeah. Yes. It sucks driving a pickup. You know, driving a pickup truck is awesome when you're moving or going to the lumber yard. When you're going out on a date, it's not a great ride.
It's one of my favorite scenes in your movie, The Hammer, opening March 21st.
Thanks, baby
doll. The passenger door doesn't really work, so you have to use a bungee cord. Is that true to life?
No, but I made that one up, but I have had pile of S pickup trucks that just generally, like I said, when the guy comes pulling up, like, okay, when the guy pulls up in a sports car, hey, that's cool. And then people think, well, there's sports car and then there's just car. Like I said, I don't know why, but a Camry or VW Jet or something. But people don't realize there's a car underneath that. That's work truck. I would pull up in a work truck. And then when it came to accommodations, I had an apartment with a roommate. So there was that thing where the roommate was coming home or the roommate was, you know, planted down on the sofa watching TV when you two lovebirds would then enter the nest and you had to wear that tippy toe around them. We'll be going.
Hey, what do you have to do tonight?
We'll be going into the bedroom to do nothing, but we're going to close the door. You know, I just fried hell is really what I think about. But now here's my point. Still managed to do decently over the years, not the frequency I would have liked, but did bed many a beautiful woman.
Quality over quantity.
That's where my head was at. Now, when I watched this millionaire matchmaker show, I just I can't believe how socially inept these guys are. And I know maybe I sound naive when I say this, but I can't figure out why guys that are smart enough to make $50 million before their 30th birthday can't string together a sentence when they're sitting across the table from a lady. I know it's two different sides of your brain, but to me, smart is smart. Like, hey, man, if you're smart and smart enough to start up your own business and invent your own software and make a bunch of money, then why can't you figure out a way to get this, get a couple apple martinis into this broad and get her back up to the hotel room?
And I'd like to see these guys. I'm sure I would love to see scenes of these guys in the boardroom or doing deals where they are these sort of masters of the universe and control, and then juxtapose with what you do see, which is them on dates just fumbling and not knowing how to just how to talk.
See,
to
this
people.
Makes sense to me, because say somebody who's a doctor, they spend so many of their formative years in school, they maybe don't learn social interaction.
Yeah, I do feel like school being the operative word in that sentence, these doctors were not doctors in the 7th, 8th, and 9th grade.
But they were probably really good students.
I'm sure they were, but still, whatever happened to Renaissance Man? Hey, Juliana?
Good morning, Adam. Good morning, Teresa.
What's happening, Juliana?
I'm on my way home.
Really?
Yeah.
What were you doing last night?
Anything I want.
Hey, everybody! Hey, my steer clear of Juliana. She's driving a pink Miata, and she's taking up four lanes down the 101. Look for the trail of stripper glitter and kissing potion. She just got off work. They just released her from the pole about 20 minutes ago. She's heading back to her apartment to eat some Rice Krispies. We'll watch the sun come up, slam a couple lines of blow before she falls asleep on top of her lap dog and suffocates it. Jade, stage four. Sorry.
Juliana?
Yes.
Where are you coming from?
I'm actually going home. I was at my boyfriend's house.
I see. And do you have to work today?
No, I have to go to court today.
Mm.
Oh,
what happened?
Some chicken-esque cop gave me a ticket saying I had no insurance when I handed him my insurance card and my registration. So
yeah, I do.
I have to fight that today.
I enjoy the part. Here's my favorite part of the cop move. And any move, by the way, who's in any kind of position of power. I like the one where you go, hey, here's this, that, or the other. And they go, yeah, this is not valid because this expired a week ago. And you go, yeah, I know. I got the new one sent to me in the mail. It's at home. And they go, yeah, fine. Just go ahead and take that down to the court. And
it's
you're
the
like,
same policy number.
Yeah. And you go, it's the same policy number. You can look it up. And they go, yeah, I know. Just go ahead and take that back to the judge. And you're like, well, we're in Ontario. I live in Studio City. And they go, yeah, I know. You just bring that in when you... I know. Just take the day off work. Just go back to Ontario. Just show them a piece of paper. I know. Just. I know. By the way, thank you. I didn't think I was going to be incarcerated, locked up, or brought to the gallows. How about you have 1 ounce of coolness and understand coolness? How about
you works?
Have a gallop of coolness? Well, here's what I'm saying. I got to tell you something. I don't know why, but it always reminds me of this story. I went down to the Van Nuys City. There's two building departments. There's the Van Nuys. This is in Southern California. There's Van Nuys. There's two court systems, essentially, in Southern California. There's Van Nuys. That's in the valley. And then there's Los Angeles, that's in the middle of the city. And that's where the building and safety is, and that's where the court system is, and that's where everything is. And I went down to Van Nuys, and I had to pull a permit to do a little work on a house I had. And the guy pulled up the schematic, and he saw my house, and it had a red check on it. And he said, you know what that red check is? And I said, no. And he said, that means your house is a historical monument, and thus, if you want to do any work on it, you must go down to downtown L.A. and go to the Historical Monument Society. I can't sign off on this thing. And
what
I
about
said,
a monument, too?
I said,
is your home?
This is my home.
Your current home.
Not my current home. Former home.
Wow.
Where I used to live. I rent the house out now. And I said, you know what? You want to know what that check is for? That check is not for my house. That check is for this big block granite retaining wall that goes around the house. It's up in the Hollywood Hills. And somebody told me about 10 years ago that they made all these walls, they call them Mulholland walls, all made of granite block boulders. If you go drive up, you go head up to like the Hollywood sign, you will pass periodically houses or just streets that have these big block, you know, granite block walls. They're all historical landmarks now. They can't be monkeyed with, covered with stucco or what have you. I said that check represents that wall because that wall goes, runs in front of my house. But the house itself is just a house. It's not a historical landmark. And the guy said, well, all you got to do is get in your car from Van Nuys in the middle of the day, in the middle of traffic, head down to downtown Los Angeles, go up to the, you know, find a place to park, go to the third floor, wait in line, get a number, do the exact same thing you just did here, talk to the guy, get him to sign off on it, and then come back and re-whatever it. And then I said this to him, how about you pick up the phone, call the guy, and then the guy will tell you. Now, that's not the way it works. Does not work that way. Does not work that way. You have to go down there. And
at least
I said,
he didn't lie and say, I can't do that. He did explain.
He did explain.
That's not the way.
He very clearly explained it. And then I got in my car. I sat in traffic. I went to downtown L.A. I paid for parking. I got to the third floor. I pulled a ticket. I stood in line. I walked up to the guy. I showed the guy the paperwork. And the first thing that came out of the guy's mouth was, why didn't he call me? I had to go back to Van Nuys. I had to get everything filled out. Now, power of persuasion. 6 months later, went back. Had to pull another permit for the roof or what have you. Guy goes and gets the schematic out, comes back. Hey, you got a red check. Yes, yes, I know that. Hey, you're going to have to head down. No, I'm not. Yes, you're going to. No, I'm not. Yeah, you know, you have. Go get the phone and go call him. I can't do. Yes, you can. Sir, yes, you can. Sir, go pick up the phone and go call him. It was the greatest moment of my life because it was not only that, but it was a 1-2-3 punch. He said, I can't call. I said, first off, don't tell me you can't call him because I hauled my ass down there 6 months ago and waited in traffic and the guy wanted to know why you didn't call. So get on the phone and go call the guy right now. And the guy was like, and I go, look, I'm not going to burn 2 hours of my life so you can save yourself a minute and a half. And by the way, guess who works for who? Now go pick up the phone and go call the guy or go get your goddamn manager. And the guy was like, okay. And he turned around. I just browbeat this puss. And he turned around.
The whole little office erupted.
Everyone's looking at me. And I said, go call him. Go call him. I'm not going down there again. And so the guy turned around and went and picked up the phone. And he said, no answer. No answer. And then my greatest moment as a taxpayer and as the Ralph Nader of the Valley, so I'm oftentimes called.
Right.
He said, well, look, you can come back tomorrow and I'll call him. And he was a little apologetic now. And if he picks up, I said, no, I'm not coming back tomorrow. He said, well, how's that going to work? I said, you're going to call him tomorrow. I said, how's that going to work? I said, here's how it's going to work. I'm going to take this check. I'm going to fill it out for the amount that I owe you, and I'm going to sign it. I'm going to give it to your cashier. You are going to call him in the morning. He's going to tell you, no problemo. Then you're going to take my paperwork. You're going to put it in an envelope, and you're going to drop it in the mail, and I'll get it in 2 days. I'm not coming back. And he said, but I can't. And I said, I'm not coming back. And then he said, I said, if I lived on the goddamn roof of this building, I would not come down here tomorrow just on principle. You know why? Because I want you guys to start doing your jobs better. I know you have no competition and thus you're all soft and you don't give a good rat's ass about anything, but I do. And I think you can do your job a hell of a lot better. And then he sheepishly turned to the cashier and he said, could he write a check out a day? And she goes, she screwed him because she gave him like, I guess.
She could have given him like, no, can't do it. Has to be present to do it.
Right. He said, I guess so. So I filled out a check for the amount of the permit. I hand it to the cashier, and I said, when you call him tomorrow, and the guy says, no problemo, you then send me the thing, and 2 days later, I got it in the mail. Now, I appreciate the first guy whose thought was, I don't want to waste 80 seconds of my life, I would rather waste 2 hours of your life. That's how our system works. That's how cops work. Yeah, sure, I'll just write you the chicken-ass jaywalking ticket in Burbank. I'll just write the chicken. I know you have proof of insurance. It's expired by a week. I could just go ahead and write down the ID number off the thing, but instead you can just take a day out of your life and haul your ass back to the city or municipality that we're standing in now, 4 weeks from now, and wait in line and stand in front of the judge. Awesome plan. And I suggest a rebellion. That's what I suggest. An uprising. That's what I suggest.
I like that. I had one moment where I broke through the humanity barrier of a bureaucrat, but this was a banker. Mm-hmm. And it's my only moment I've ever had in succeeding with this. I was at the bank. I was waiting in a long line trying to wire money. Mm. This was when my brother was in the hospital for a couple months in Johns Hopkins. A few months ago. My parents were both back east, and they needed the money to pay the rent in the room where they were staying, and I was trying to wire money. Otherwise, they would be thrown out of their place. So I wait through the line. I'm about to wire the money, and the teller notices my driver's license had just expired. She said, no can do. And I looked at her and I said, ma'am, I'm trying to wire this money to my parents. My brother's in the hospital. He has cancer. If there's any way you could just look past this, just person to person, and just let this one thing go. Oh. Mm. I can show you a million other forms of ID. I've been banking here for years.
No!
She had no in her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But she said yes.
I know. Well, it is one of those things. It's like
brought her a box of candy the next day.
Expired. And by the way, she doesn't deserve it. It's just what you should do.
It's weird. See, this customer service means you are paying her. No, it's not a government office.
Yeah. You're right.
Saying where the guy can say, F you, who else are you going to go to?
Bank tellers are pretty stuck in the bureaucratic methods.
Yes, they are. But you have a license and it expired on your birthday, and your birthday was 2 weeks ago. You know what I mean? It's the same thing we're talking about with like the proof of insurance. Like, you can show, there are ways for them to know you have a license or have insurance, even if technically it's expired a week ago. And that's when they should just do the right thing. And not only for you, just for them. You know what I mean? Like I've said 1,000 times, I used to teach traffic school. People come in every other class I taught, somebody would come in all hurried, all messed up, an hour late, frantic. I went to the wrong place, or the guy at the thing, and I just go, sit down. And they go, I just go, sit down. Who cares? Let's just get through this life together, please, people. Really? Is that what we want to do? I mean, we're all on this planet together for what period of time in terms of the Earth's calendar and the Earth's history? Is this what we want to do? F with each other over technicalities? We need to take a break. I will tell you another heartwarming story, and we'll take more of your calls, 866-901-ADAM. We'll also talk some ratings, because I want to clear a few things up for a few people. Talk ratings next as well.
It's the Adam Carolla Show, and Program Director Jack Silver has a few words to say.
Check, check, check! Dollar bills, y'all! Today, comedian David Alan Greer! The Ace Man tells us more tales from the Chief! A new round of weed walking! And the star of the new show, Millionaire Matchmaker, Patty Stanger! Oh, hey, I got this friend! I want to refer to her! I got good news and bad news! The bad news is, he's currently up to his ass in alimony payments. He may or may not have one or more communicable diseases. And he's not a millionaire. The good news is, I'm out of bad news. Wait.
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, quick story, and oh man, you guys got your calls. All right, I'm going to be really super fast on this one in terms of demanding something from people. I buy tons of cars, and I had at the time, 8 years ago, maybe 9 years ago, I had about 4 or 5 cars and family, maybe 6 or 7, including, you know, sort of the family cars. And I called my insurance. I bought another car. And I called my insurance guy and I said, come on down and take a photograph of the car and write the VIN number down and then go home. And he said, doesn't work that way. You got to bring it over to me. And we went back and forth a bunch of times because I was trying to find time in my schedule to drive this new car out to his place, which is in one end of the valley. And I had it on another end of the valley, not too far away, but I didn't live at the house it was at. And I just was doing the man show and Loveline and so on and so forth. And we kept going back and forth. And eventually I said, look, just come over to the house, bring the Kodak, take a picture of the car. I know I've had it done before. Other insurance companies will do that. They'll come to your house. The guy will take the Instamatic picture. He takes a picture of the door jam so we can see the VIN number, inspects the car, and then fills out something and goes home.
Yeah.
I said, come out and do that. He said, we don't do that. I said, you should do that. They said, we don't do that. I said, I've had 6 or 7 cars insured by you guys for 5 or 6 years. And guess who's never filed a claim? Guess who's never been into an accident in 5 years with 8 cars? So for me, I think I've earned that. By the way, I'm in Sherman Oaks. You're in Encino. I'm 4 miles as the crow flies. Send one of your lackeys with the Polaroid over and let's take care of this. His answer? We're not insured to do that.
Nice.
I said, look.
Put yourself a policy.
I said, put your manager on the phone. It gets the manager on the phone. I said, look, I'm going to give you a choice. I said, you can come over, you can take an $8 an hour kid, you can put him on his moped, you can hand him the Polaroid camera, he can come to my house, he can take a picture of my yet another car that I'd like to add to my policy with your company. By the way, have never filed, never in my life filed, not with your company, not with any company, never filed a claim. You can do that. Or I will take every single car I have off and I will go take my business somewhere else. And he said, well, sir, that is your prerogative. And I said, all right, then that's what I'll do. And he said, all right. And I said, not going to come out and take a picture. And they go, we don't do it. And then he pulled this one. He said, if we did it for you, we'd have to do it for everyone. And I said, you should pray that everyone has 8 cars on your company for the last 5 years and has never filed one goddamn complaint or policy. All you do is get a check from me every single month. That's all. On time. That's our relationship. That's all it's been for the last 5 years. So, by the way, if all you did was, as a car insurance company, is have a bunch of rich guys send you checks for their multiple cars and they never filed a claim, then yes, you could do it for everyone. But no, you don't have to do it for the guy who just has collision and he just has one Datsun 210 Honeybee and he lives in Reseda. You don't have to do it for that one guy. You have to do it for the guy who has 8 cars and has never filed a claim. Sir, I wish we could help you. And I said, put your manager on the phone. Talk to that guy. And I said, look, get the Instamatic. I swear to you, I'll pull every car off. I said, then that's your choice, sir. And I said, fine. And I hung up the phone and I called my money manager guy and I said, Deborah, take every single car I have and go find another manager, go find another insurance company. And she gave the same grunt. Adam, do we have to? I said, yes, we do. File it, pull it. Now, I hope these people are listening. That was 10 years ago. And by the way, 13 cars ago. I have since gone through 20 cars, probably have 18 or 19 cars these days, including my wife's car, including my car, including specialty cars and cars I don't drive every day, so on and so forth. Guess how many claims filed? Me, my wife, family, my dad's car, lease him a car, specialty car. Guess how many?
Half a dozen.
Zero.
Damn it.
Zero. Zero. A big effing zero. So this car insurance company, because they wouldn't put the puss on the moped with the Polaroid and come down to my house in 1999, now almost 10 years later and must be 15 cars later because I've done, my dad has had multiple car leases. My wife has had multiple car leases. I've had multiple car leases. Plus the fact that I just buy a car off of eBay every 3 months, all insured. Never claim.
They don't care because it's not their money. If that was a small family-owned insurance operation, they would get their ass to your house and take a picture.
I pray somebody is listening from that company and drives off the road. And by the way, the person who makes that decision should be fired.
Oh, of course.
But best thing I ever did. And I wake up once a year laughing maniacally in my sleep, just thinking about all the money I kept away from those pusses, because I got the, if I did that for you, I'd have to do it for everybody. Now, quickly, ratings. And the reason we talk about ratings on this show, and other shows talk about it quite a bit on this station, and we don't talk about it that much, but I do feel on occasion like it comes up and I need to keep people informed and tell them what is going on. We got our first ratings yesterday since Danny has left the show. Ratings are 3 months behind in radio. Because
so we get a report card yesterday on what we did in January.
Right, because the retarded people who use the golf pencil to fill out their diary, there's about a 3-month lag time on that. So we found out what our ratings were since Danny has not been on the show, and the ratings went up considerably. Now, what does that mean? Well, I don't know, because the place that does the tabulating is called Arbitron. It has the word arbitrary worked right into it, and it's oftentimes all over the map. What it does mean is our little experiment is probably working out, and what it does do is, for all of you who are fans of the show and worried about what would happen if the ratings went into the tank, you can breathe a sigh of relief. When I was explaining to the bosses over the Christmas vacation, I think Danny needs to do his own show and we need to do our own show, they said, what about the ratings? And I said, I don't know that people listen to the show for Danny. And they said, but what are you going to do about the ratings? What if the ratings tank? Meaning, almost everybody at this station and at the corporate level in New York assumed that when Danny left, he would take the ratings with him, which sounded counterintuitive to me because I had not spoken to anybody who enjoyed Danny on this show. But according to the geniuses that are radio, that's what their fear was. Well, that did not come to fruition. Thankfully, the ratings went up quite a bit. Now, that doesn't mean they can't free fall
right,
the next ratings book, because that's how Arbitron works. You have no idea where you are, when you are. It's all over the
map. That's the fun of Arbitron.
Yeah, it really does.
You
make,
never know what you're going to get.
It's a great spin of the wheel. It's a lovely crapshoot. But the point is this. If our ratings that just came out yesterday had gone down, I can tell you right now that Jack Silver would have spun through here like the Tasmanian devil, and New York would never stop calling me wanting to know what we're going to do to get Danny back on the show, or so on and so forth. So, and by the way, this is not a dig against Danny. This is me saying, I think this show will work. I think this show can work. And what the ratings are saying is, you were right 4 months ago when you had that thought.
Yeah, this isn't, sometimes we would have a steady climb, like in maybe in the second half of our first year, our ratings would steadily climb. This would be more like a jump than a climb.
I would say there was a jump in the ratings, yes.
And by the way, I was told in no uncertain terms by Jack Silver, our boss, over the holiday, that for some reason he calls me your boy. Mm-hmm. And he said, if you and your boy Adam, my boy, how'd that happen? If you and your boy Adam, if your numbers go down, you're all gone in a year.
Hi,
you're
boy.
You're all gone.
Yes.
That feels great.
It's
wow,
awesome.
Wow, I'm so excited about my mortgage in 09.
Right. Now, you've heard some of the vitriol I've given toward cops and insurance people and stuff like that. Oh, believe me, when it comes to radio, I have plenty stored up for plenty of people involving CBS, KLSX, and this company. Believe you me. Believe
when does that
me.
Come out? One more ratings
couple,
period?
Just keep,
oh,
if we can just keep
about,
the ratings going.
Yeah, you talk about FU money, we'll get FU ratings.
I will go on a raping spree, but first, just need to string together a few good ratings books. So anyway, to all the people that were worried about what would happen and where the show would be and if the ratings went down, and yes, it's basically the truth, we stuck our neck out. We said we believe we can do a show that's better than the show we were formerly doing in 07. But if our little experiment didn't work out, we would all be down the road. Evidently, it is working out, at least according to the last ratings book, which, again, as Teresa said, I don't want to bore you with the numbers, but it jumped up significantly. So that is good. And by the way, that being said, the whole station's ratings went up, including Danny's in the afternoon, although I don't know how they measure that
it
hour.
It looks like they measure 3 to 7 or something like that. Whenever
either way,
10 to 3 to 6.
Either way, everything is up. So mazel tov to everyone, including ourselves. And I'm only saying this because once in a while I read the message board and I see people wringing their hands over if this doesn't happen, then that's going to happen, and we're in fear of losing this. Rest easy, my friend. Now, tons of calls. Let's take a break. We were going to do weed walking, but I haven't spoken to anyone yet. I've just been ranting. So lots of, we'll take a quick break, shocking, and then we'll take all your phone calls next.
Let's check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, come on, dude. I wanted to see you, man. On the front of the eighth, man. Yeah, come on. Come on. I just want to bitch for that in one time.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show. I waited for you, man.
Yes, you did. All right, as promised, some phone calls. Dave.
Yes, sir.
What's happening,
Adam
Dave?
Teresa. Hey, I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoy your show and look forward to it every morning.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm a truck driver, drive all over Southern California. Sometimes I don't get your reception, but when I heard you were born, raised in the valley here, I was too. And then I heard you talk about Molly, and I've got a Molly at home myself. I just love her to death.
Yeah, I do love my dog.
Ex-wife we skinned.
Yeah, and the other thing about my dogs, I don't, you know, a lot of people do that thing where, like, you know, I don't walk Molly. Molly drags me. She drags me around. And as a matter of fact, the other day, when I was trying to get, you know, a few weeks ago when I found out I was doing this Dancing with the Stars nonsense, I thought, well, I better get into shape. I'll go for a jog. And my wife said, well, if you're going to go for a jog, take Molly. And I said, I can't take Molly for a jog because she stops every 2 feet. She sniffs everything. And I said, oh, screw it. I'll take Molly for a jog. So I get my shoes on. I get my little iPod earbuds in. I get Molly on her leash and we go for a jog. And we get about a half mile away from my house and Molly stops and said, that's enough. I've had enough. And I said, come on, Molly. And she said, nah. And I said, come on. I started pulling her and she said, nah, it's time to head home. And I said, come on, Molly, we're going to finish going around the thing. And I had to go home with her.
Yeah.
And then people say to me, you got to train her. You got to get a muzzle thing and you got to get a thing and you got a thing. And I thought, you know what? I don't need a dog to do my bidding for me. I don't need a dog to pull me on a sled. I don't need it to root out a fox so I can shoot at it.
It'd be nice.
I like a dog to lie around and lower my blood pressure. You know, a lot of people have this thing with their dogs where it's like, your dog needs to know that you're in command. Really? I mean, I think my kids need to know I'm their dad, and I'd like my coworkers to know I'm their friend and their boss, if in fact I am their boss. But I really don't think that my dog needs to be scared of me or know that I'm the master. As a matter of fact, it's a mascot. You know what I mean? It's a mascot that takes a dump in the backyard and you spend $40 a month on food for. But it's essentially a big hairy mascot that lays around, lowers your blood pressure, and every once in a while brings you a tennis ball so you can toss it to him and forget about whatever problems you may have had. I don't need that part where the dog needs to be a private in my army. You know that thing? And people do it. You yank the chain.
Get on your knees.
When you walk with the dog. Now, I understand if you have a dog that's biting other people or biting other dogs. Molly doesn't do that. It's just I walk the dog and she drags me around. And every 4 feet we stop and she does what she wants to do. And I'm sort of like, all right, Who cares? I didn't get the dog to be an employee of mine. I got it just to pet and, you know, be sweet with, and that's what she does.
Dave, what kind of dog is your Molly?
Mine is a Rottweiler.
Awesome.
Oh, those are sweet.
Yeah, that's right.
She's a sweetheart. Everybody's afraid of her, but all she wants to do is play.
Right.
With your bones.
Oh, my God.
Dave, I think they're scared of you, too.
Buffalo Bill.
No. Anyways, you know, Adam, good luck on Dancing with Stars, man. I hope I'm parked so I can watch you dance, and I really, really enjoy you guys' show.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Take care. And say hi to your Rottweiler. Let's see. Orthodox Jew married a Latina woman. Jeremy?
Yes, sir.
How say you, my friend?
Oh, buenos morning.
Buenos morning. What's happening? Yeah.
Oh, just heading home from the gym. Heard what you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And go Brown, man. You wear the crown.
We were talking about it yesterday. I think we were talking about the Latina chicks and a white guy saying he couldn't get with the Latina chicks.
Yes.
Although it sounded... didn't make sense to anybody in the room.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't make sense.
You're a Jew, an Orthodox Jew?
Born and raised in Glasgow, Scotland.
As an Orthodox Jew?
As an Orthodox, we had the two sets of plates. We went to temple every Saturday, went to the Hebrew school, wore the tzitzits and everything.
In Scotland.
You know what the tzitzits are?
No, I don't know what that one is.
Jeremy?
What kind of... Come on, Adam.
My step-grandfather was a Jew.
But not Orthodox. You'd have to be Orthodox to know that one.
So I know a lot about it.
Teresa, get in the business.
Jeremy, tell us.
Tzitzits are the represent the four corners of the earth that you wear over your shoulders, and two hang down in front, two in the back. You know, if you down on Fairfax, I'm sure you'll see a lot of them.
I have actually penetrated the inner circle of the Hasidim down there on Fairfax and been into one of their mosques or shrines or wherever the hell they are down there. First off, those guys are clinically insane. I mean, they have a wooden prayer box or a cardboard prayer box that they sort of duct tape to their head. They all smell to high heaven because somehow showering is not part of the deal. All they do is nosh all day, and they have huge beards with food stuffed into it. And I believe that it's a form of mental insanity, although no one has the guts to say it because it sounds disrespectful. Go ahead.
I was just going to say a lot of it stems from the old, what they call old school, where the values are imposed. Just like with my wife at 12 years old, being Latina and Catholic, you know, my mother-in-law, you say a bad word and she starts blessing herself. But at 12 years old, if you don't do this, you are going to hell.
Yeah. Well, look, I have seen, if you go down the Fairfax district is the Jewish district in our area here. Now, the Jews, right up there with who else do I like? The Hindus. I don't think
it's
I have a problem with
the best kind of religious insanity, which is the peaceful.
It's
mind
the
really just study.
Yes.
We're
going to hang out and
off the streets by the time the sun goes.
We're going to hang out and drive our own family nuts. Yes, it's one of these. It's a one. Look, here's the thing. People that are here's how it breaks down. Religious people, by the most part, there's two types of religious people. There's I'm just dumb and my parents were Catholic, so I'm Catholic. So what are you going to do? It's basically I grew up in Wisconsin. I'm a Packers fan. That's 90% of religion is that. My dad was a cheesehead. Who do you want me to root for? That's exactly how it works. So first off, wherever you were born, that's your team. That's how religion works. That's 90% of it. Then there's another small percentage of it, which is, I have a mental condition. I killed a couple of people in, just outside of high school, and I can't wrap my mind around it, so I'm going to become a born again this or that. And then there's the super Hasidim or the super religious zealot people. Now, to me, that's a mental deficiency. You have a problem. And by the way, you want to talk about child abuse? I throw one of my kids in the car, don't strap him down 10 ways to Sunday in a child seat and go to the corner and come back. Child Protective Services can take my kids away. You have your kid wear the prayer shawl, put on the crappy hat, not use electricity on Saturdays, face Mecca, and kneel and pray five times a day, pollute their brain with some sort of retarded nonsense, essentially brainwashing them in a cult. And yes, all religions are their own retarded cult. That's perfectly fine.
You are going to hell.
That's tradition. So if it's up to me, I would rather have a dad that hit the sauce every once in a while and hit my face with the back of his hand every once in a while. Then when I see some of those seven-year-olds dressed like morticians being dragged down Fairfax Boulevard on their way to some other, on their way to some place with no windows to talk to some god that doesn't exist. To me, I would go ahead and classify that as child abuse and a waste of time. But listen, all you nut jobs, knock yourselves out. And again, the Jews, what I love about the Jews is they quietly go about their retarded, insane business on their own and drive everyone in their house nuts, but they don't blow up things. That's what I love about the Jews.
Lives of quiet desperation and a lot of reading. Jeremy will tell you there's a Jewish holiday. I think it's Simchat Torah, but I may be wrong. The entire holiday, this is a joyous festival day. You read the Torah all day, and I mean 24 hours. You just study all day. Jeremy, am I right about this?
Let me pop him up.
But you know what? You know, when we came here in 1981, I mean, we were raised Orthodox, but we didn't do some of the wacky things that Adam was talking about. And, you know, as I go older and look back and reflect, it's like, God, I wish I had my own voice back then.
Yeah.
Right. But Jeremy, am I right about the holiday where you just read the Torah all night?
Yes, you are.
All right. Thanks, Jeremy. Good times. And by the way, I'm out just for that one holiday. Just if you have a TiVo holiday. Look, again, no disrespect to all you nut jobs and all your crappy, nutty religions. Knock yourbells out.
No disrespect.
No disrespect to your retarded, crazy, child abusive religions.
Yeah, sure. Knock yourself out. Look, you're all nuts. If you realize you're all nuts, right? Nothing, none of this stuff exists.
I'll tell you
what. Well,
let me ask you this. What are the chances that you're all right? All right. Look, go knock yourself out. Waste your time. Just as long as you don't blow stuff up, go ahead. You just be like that crazy person that pushes a shopping cart filled with cans and you talk to yourself. Instead, you just dress in black and you go somewhere else and you read the Torah. Good. Go about your nutty lifestyle. Just stay out of my house and don't blow up any airplanes.
Take a little time to be quiet.
Yes.
You know, studies have shown that highly religious people are happier on balance.
Of course. I would be happier too. Look, studies would also show that people that believe in Santa and the Easter Bunny are happier. Of course you're happier when you believe that stuff.
Well, there's also the communal aspect. I think that's a lot of
it. Sure, you get together with a whole group of other people who believe in the Easter Bunny, and then you eat. It'd be awesome. Of course they're happier. There's no doubt that they're happier. If I told you, you know, if you went to a doctor and they said you have terminal cancer, and I said, no, you don't, you're going to live till 1,000, would you be happy?
No, not in my case.
I could make you happier if I could convince you you're going to live another 100 years when the doctor gave you 6 months. That's the point. It's a fantasy, but it makes sense. Look, there's studies that would suggest that school kids are happier when you give them A's for F papers. It's a lie, but of course you're happy. Good, enjoy. Make your kids happy, too. And by the way, keep the whole Santa Claus, Easter Bunny thing, keep that going into the kids' 30s. Why not?
Don't you think that atheism or agnosticism is also something that you get from your parents?
We'll be right back.
No, I think it's something you don't get from your parents, which is religion.
But it's, in a sense, the same thing as having Catholicism passed down. You grew up without that, and so you don't have that, and it doesn't have meaning.
But it'd be like saying, I have a team because I grew up in Wisconsin, and I'm a cheesehead. You have the same thing. You have no team. That's the same as me having a team. Your no team is a team. I'm saying, no, it's not. I don't follow the game. I don't have it passed down. I had nothing. I know it kind of what you're saying. We don't have enough time to really tackle it because we have to do the news, but I don't think not believing in a religion is its own religion.
Right. It is a set of beliefs.
I don't think it's a set of beliefs.
You have a very strong set of beliefs on this topic.
Oh, I would argue it's a non-belief, but I don't know if it's a belief.
It's a strong non-belief.
Well, I mean, now then you get into semantics, because I don't think, or I should say, I know nothing really exists out there, but right. I have the same belief about gravity.
Yeah.
It's, I've never experienced it, thus that's my feeling, but I don't think it's its own religion. I don't like when they turn atheists into a religion.
I agree.
It's a zero religion. All right. It's a sport that I don't follow. So we will
take. It's soccer.
It's soccer. We will take ourselves a break. Tia will do the news and we'll be back.
Adam's main man, David Alan Greer. And I'm sure we won't be able to get him to leave for a while. Millionaire matchmaker Patty Stanger joins us.
Gold diggers come in and they like to flip, like in real estate.
Adam shares some personal family stories on Tales from the Cheap.
There's a white family rolling a 50-pound ball of Gouda down the street. Get them!
Teresa Strasser delivers the news.
I heard you call me fat.
Powered by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today? To talk to the Ace Man, call 866-901-ADAM. And when you get to work, stream the Adam Carolla Show at AdamCarolla.com. Just click on Listen Live.
All right, I agree with me and us.
And now, Adam Carolla.
I got a good story coming up from Tales of the Cheap.
Oh, good.
Forgot about it. Never told it on the air. All right, T.
Yes?
Let's hear the news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
This story from our content partner, MSN.com. It could be close between Democratic presidential candidates Hillary Clinton and rival Barack Obama in four states today. According to recent polls, the numbers are tight in Texas and Ohio. There are also contests in Vermont and Rhode Island, but most of the attention has been focused on the bigger states of Texas and Ohio. With an impressive victory in Ohio or Texas, Clinton is expected to face mounting pressure to drop out,
Mm-hmm.
However, if Hillary Clinton wins Texas and Ohio, Obama faces likely criticism that he cannot close the deal. Now, while the Democratic presidential race is still close, Republican candidate John McCain is enjoying a massive lead in delegate totals heading into today's primaries.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, we were talking about how the presidential candidates basically have to be a part of pop culture now. They go on SNL, they go on MTV. Well, Hillary Clinton stopped by The Daily Show and had a conversation with Jon Stewart.
Senator, let me get right into this. This election is about judgment. Tomorrow is perhaps one of the most important days of your life. And yet you have chosen to spend the night before talking to me. Senator, as a host, I'm delighted. As a citizen, frightened. Your response.
It is pretty pathetic.
She cracked up Jon Stewart.
Yeah. Well, I mean, politicians are sort of like athletes that way. If they say anything remotely interesting that would show any kind of sense of humor at all, everyone immediately erupts.
Bar is quite low.
Yeah.
For Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And the others.
Mm-hmm.
American Idol is on tonight, and it's down to the Sweet 16. Lots of news coming out about some of the contestants. I'll get to that in a minute. Here's a story out of Indianapolis. A 25-year-old woman named Sheila Brooks was giving her daughters, 3-year-old Sirius and 1-year-old Serena, a bath.
Mm-hmm.
They were just about finished when Sheila went to get the girls some clothes. On her way back to the bathroom, while the kids were in the tub, she got preoccupied because American Idol was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
She stopped to watch just for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Got kind of wrapped
while
up in the show.
While they were in the bathtub?
3-year-old and a 1-year-old in the tub.
And the older brother, XM, where was he?
He was not there. Just Sirius.
He was his buddy TiVo's house?
Exactly. He was over at TiVo's house across the street.
The girl's name is Sirius?
Spelled S-I-R-I-U-S.
Isn't it a galaxy? Or a planet? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a galaxy.
All right.
Right,
it's a real astronomer.
Satellite.
Nerdy astronomer types.
Right.
Giving baths to their kids. All right.
Definitely not a Jew.
All right, so let's reset. Sirius is in the... How old is Sirius?
Three. Serena is one.
Serena in the tub. Sirius, Serena in the tub. Mama goes to watch a little American Idol, and what happens?
Well, she gets completely caught up in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Forgets about Sirius and Serena in the bathtub.
Mm.
By the time she remembers, Sirius has slipped underwater. And she's begun to drown.
Mm.
Sheila freaks out, pulls Sirius from the tub, begins CPR. While her older brother...
CPR is the name of the younger sister?
That's DVR.
Oh, DVR
is with the neighbor and XM across the street.
Uh-huh. For TiVo and XM across the street, okay.
Yeah, TiVo and XM across the street with CPR.
Blu-ray came home early from work only to find...
A mess, a drowning baby and a mom watching Idol.
And he was like, where's Laserdisc? She said she'd be watching. All right, sorry.
Well, the problem, well, Def was supposed to be watching, but he was high.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so her older brother, a 38-year-old named Darnell Wilson, called 911. An ambulance arrived. They rushed the girl, Sirius, to the hospital where she was revived. Mm-hmm. And while doctors think Sirius is going to be okay, Sheila still has some explaining to do. The police who responded to the 911 call found Sheila's secret stash, which included more than an ounce of marijuana and a scale.
Look. Again, I hate to turn everything into some sort of racial discussion, but it's obviously, I mean, these people are Asian, yes?
I think that's clear.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't want to spell it out.
Again, I'm tired of dancing around the issues. I don't know who has to get the message to this culture, to these people, to ease up on the weed, the crazy names with the kids and watching the TV while they're in the tub. But somebody, and I don't speak Japanese, somebody's going to have to communicate to these people.
Well, thankfully you have the courage to speak out on this.
Well, I always have mixed feelings when young people of horrible families survive tragic accidents. Because on one hand, yes, they did make it, and that's a blessing. On the other hand, they live to procreate. And they will have more screwed up kids, and we will have to take care of these kids. Now, here's the thing about mamas like this. I don't need you put in jail. I don't even need you to go to parenting class. What I need is for somebody to fill you up with cement so that you can no longer have kids. Because she will crap out a few more kids, name them after satellite radio channels, and
well, Blu-ray, high def,
she's got
XM,
a little Stern 101.
Howard 101
is on the way, I'm sure. Look, seriously, we can do whatever we want with we can do whatever we want with this person except for tell them they can't have any more kids.
Funny you should mention that, because Sheila actually does have five daughters.
Perfect.
Well, she did. They've all been taken from her and placed in protective custody. So far, she has not been charged in the near drowning.
Good. Now let's take one of those Duraflame logs, wedge it up her, and break it off. That's all I want. No more kids. No more kids from horrible mom. And by the way, you want to turn the page backwards a couple of turns and see what her family was like and how many brothers and sisters she had and where Papa was and so on and so forth. People, isn't that all you need to know? Isn't that the only topic? I know I give this speech once every 2 months, but there, it's time. There's only one issue. People love to break everything off into separate issues. Hey, what about crime? Hey, what about unemployment? What about drug abuse? What about education? What about pollution? What about prison overcrowding? Forget about this country. Just travel abroad. See some of the things that's going on over there in Darfur, in the Sudan, places like that, the Congo. Everybody craps out tons of kids at a very young age. They don't take care of the kids. The kids are not educated. The kids go on to crap out more kids. And before you know it, guess what you have? Lots of refugees. Tons of people, not enough food, not enough education. And then what we do is we then airlift in sacks of grain so that they can survive to crap out another kid. This is the only topic that faces this planet. It's it. That's it. It's the height of retardism that we like to break everything off into separate topics and go, what are we going to do about education? What are we going to do about, there's a lot of people out there that are uninsured, that are undereducated, that don't have, yes, we could break it off into 1,000 different discussions, or we could talk about one. Stupid, undereducated, poor people crapping out kids at a crazy alarming rate, and us all standing back and pretending like it has nothing to do with anything. Well, that's God-given right, neither here nor there. Let's wait till they crap everyone out, and then we'll deal with each problem individually. That's awesome. Let's start building prisons. Let's start hiring social workers. Let's start building more public schools that don't work. Really? And can't we just go abroad and learn our lesson from some of these horrible aforementioned places and realize that the average mom has a kid in Darfur or in the Sudan at age like 14 and a half and that the average mom has 8 kids? We can't do that math. How about we pick a country where the parents stay together and they have 1.6 kids? Can we do that math and see how that country's doing in the education department?
Take a little time to be quiet.
Jesus Christ. You pussy politicians. That's all I hear from you is NAFTA. And, oh, we gonna, what are we gonna do to enforce the borders? And what about Iraq? What about our own Iraq over here? There's 300 million people living in this country. 50 years ago, there was like 150 million people. 50 years from now, there's gonna be 700 million people. How many idiots do you want running around? And by the way, you think traffic is bad now? You think pollution is bad now? Do you think prisons are overcrowded now? Do you think classrooms are overcrowded now? Hey, pussy politicians, why don't you get off your fat ass and talk about the real problem, which is this, the only problem. But oh no. We want to talk about the North American Free Trade Agreement with Canada and what we're going to do to pull our boys out of Iraq.
Now, if you were in charge, you God know how damn. They have Meals on Wheels. They
yes.
come to you, they feed you. Why not a sterilization program? It's in a van. Let's just say it's called That's the End of the Line. You hear about somebody like Sheila.
Right.
She's had 3 strikes. She almost drowned 2 kids and she had pot. So 3 strikes, you're out of a uterus.
Right.
Your van shows up. Sheila. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need you in the van for 20 minutes. You won't feel anything. And when you leave the van, you're all done having kids. That's the end of the line program.
Basic idea, slightly different because the van house to house is too slow a process. These are troop transport vehicles with turrets on top, Gatling guns that fire Norplant.
Ah.
When I see large groups of people gathered out on the street after the street lights are on, I open up on
Hold
them.
Hold on. There could be collateral damage. I mean, you could
guys.
Hit me. You could hit someone
you
like
me.
You
could get hit. A lot of guys could get hit. Answer is be in your house after the street lights come
on. Are you going to get out your bullhorn? Because I don't want to get hit. I'm going to have enough trouble conceiving at 29.
Okay, people. What I'm going to need you to do for me okay right now is go ahead and take the welfare moms and the at-risk moms and the survivors of molestation and physical and verbal abuse. What I'm going to need you to do for me right now is go ahead and take some of that Norplant. Go ahead and put it in your arm okay right now. Okay, what I'm going to need you to do for me okay right now, at-risk mothers, go ahead and stop crapping out unwanted kids okay right now and leaving them floating in tubs like icebergs while you watch Seacrest and Company do nothing in the next room okay right now?
That's what it's going to sound like from the bullhorn.
Listen, I'm not saying right away you sterilize. I'm saying the 3 strikes you're out of a uterus.
Yeah.
You make a few mistakes.
It's pretty much, look, it's pretty much this way. First off, you put your hand out. If you put your hand out any way, shape, or form, if you say to the government, I need help.
Right.
I need money. I need cheese.
Food stamps.
I need food stamps. I need medical. I need anything. You put your hand out. First thing I put in your hand is birth control.
Right.
Second thing I'll put is a check so that you can keep yourself and the kid you already crapped out alive. First thing you get is that. That's number one. You put your hand out. Now look, you want to have, you want to crap out the Osmond family? Knock yourself out. The second you come to me, meaning the government, for help, now I'm making the rules.
If you can afford all of your kids.
Right. And people do that thing where they go, hey, what gives you the right? Nothing. You came to me. It's like, hey, I'm going to come to work. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to drop my pants. I'm going to defecate in the kitchen area and then I'm going to take a nap. And then Jack Silver walks down the hall and goes, why aren't you doing the radio? And I go, hey, man, what gives you the right to tell me what to do? I'll tell you what gives him the right. He's paying me. That's what gives me the right. And the government becomes your boss. Because you don't have a job, we are your boss. We, who pay the taxes, are your boss. And guess what? Just like the boss you would have had if you decided to work, we get to tell you what to do. Now, look, people do that thing, too, where they go, oh, like, so as if we're punishing these people. Are you punishing your dogs when you spay and neuter them?
It's the kindest thing you can do for dogs.
Do we understand the concept of spay and neuter
Most
and overpopulation?
Most of their puppies will be put down.
Yes, in a bathtub.
Right.
Thank you. But Will, now, it's been nothing but politics. Nothing but politics for the last year. Wall-to-wall goddamn politics. Can't turn on the TV without politics. What are we hearing about?
NAFTA.
And Iraq.
Health insurance.
Yeah, and then these sort of sweeping things. I'm gonna bring pride back to America.
Hope.
Yeah, I'm going to bring hope. Hope is changes of wind are blowing. Oh, shut up! And start having balls, would you? And I include Hillary in that group, you pussies. No one wants to bring it up because it's taboo. And it has a racial component, which everyone is completely freaked out about.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned balls, because that leads me into my next story regarding American Idol. You may have heard of David Hernandez. He's a contestant on Idol. He sang Papa Was a Rolling Stone. The judges loved him last week.
Mm.
Turns out...
Great song, by the way.
Great song, and he did an amazing job with it.
All he left us was alone. That is such a good line that doesn't get his credit.
So good, I know.
When he died, all he left us was alone.
Brilliant.
Great. The whole song all the way through about doing a little storefront preaching and taking the women. And Mama just hung her head and said, Papa was a rolling. It's a great song.
Well, when David Hernandez left his job as a male stripper, mm-hmm. all he left us was a scandal.
Really?
Apparently, he was working at Dick's Cabaret in Glendale, Arizona, a male strip club that caters to a mostly male clientele.
Mm. Mostly.
That's where Board Op Bill had a Super Bowl party this year.
Oh, at Dick's?
Yeah.
Well, Gordy Bryan is the manager there. He says David Hernandez did indeed work there.
It was in July.
Oh, my God.
Why not? We don't need a Super Bowl to have a Super Bowl party. That's the beauty of the case.
It was the Super Bowl party.
No, it was a Super Bowl with a 7-layer dip in it.
Right.
That all dove in.
Well, David Hernandez
started out as a 6-layer.
He didn't sing, but he did go completely nude when he stripped there. And mm-hmm. according to the manager, quote, he had the look and the type that people like. So he made pretty good money here. We don't mm-hmm. know for sure if this is true, but it's been all over the web. There are photographs of it. You know that vote for the worst site?
Mm-hmm.
They kept Sanjaya in the race.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were all over this. As soon as somebody posted it on voteforthewest.com, they got a ton of letters saying, yeah, he's a stripper in Vegas. They found photographs. They go on these sites online, Photo Bucket. They scoured MySpace, and they found a lot of proof. Now, there's no word yet. Fox has not returned any calls from the media about whether this is going to affect his candidacy for American Idol.
Well, obviously, we have a double standard where it might be death for a woman, but not so much for a guy, depending on what he was doing. Now, was he stripping at a gay club?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what it looks like.
So that's a stigma there, because if you're stripping at a guy at a girls club, that's no big deal if you're just doing bachelorette parties and then you're doing totally nude. And by the way, if you're a stripper at a gay, I didn't even know they had gay strip clubs. So by the way, why bother? Isn't a gay strip club just called a bathroom at a gay bar? I mean, don't you just, the beauty of being gay is, especially if you're a dude, is you're a dude. You're like, hi, may I perform oral on you? Yeah, I'll tell you what, let's take it off the sidewalk. How about we just walk over to my minivan over here? It's two guys deciding.
Minivan.
It's two guys deciding when it's time to have sex. Yes, go ahead. Well, Board up, Bill.
Not only every bar that I go into, not only is there porn up on the up on every screen that's going on gay porn, but there's gay dancers in every corner shaking their stuff,
yeah.
asking you to put dollar bills, not 20s.
Dollars.
$1. That's
wow.
all we cost.
I'm going gay.
Yeah, you got it.
Old school. All right, so there are gay, official gay strip clubs where they get totally naked.
Absolutely. Now, you may remember in 2003, finalist Frenchie Davis was dismissed because she appeared on an adult website. I think that site was pretty hardcore. Last year, Antonella Barba remained in the competition after some racy photos of her surfaced on the internet.
Yeah, well, it's officially on. Hey, T-Bone?
Yep.
Tell you what, let's do. Let's break the news in half. Do you have a couple more stories?
Oh, I sure do. And one that you may want to hear, some important information about women and porn that could surprise you.
Yeah, I went on a little diatribe in the middle of the news, thus pushing us back. But we'll take a break. Come back with the second half. Good news, by the way. David Alan Greer, DAG, otherwise known as my main man, coming in studio and a couple of few as well. Rest of the news next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Every now and again, we like to break down the game film of PBS's Huell Hauser. But sometimes there's just not enough time for all the clips. So here's another one of Huell's Jewels.
If this is any indication of what lies ahead, we are in for a truly spectacular adventure. And here comes a helicopter overhead.
Thanks, Huell. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, very quickly, based on me talking about thinning the herd, overpopulation, and all the problems, I said there's a racial component to it, and that's why. Well, there's two components to it that politicians are scared of. One, there's a sort of religious reproduction component to it. The ultimate big brother, God taking right. over, or the government taking over your reproduction system, which is the ultimate taboo. And then the second part, there's a racial component to it as well. Ryan?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you have to say about that?
Hey, first of all, I still love the show, and I agree with 85 to 90% of the stuff you say. But
thank
I have
you.
An issue with the racial thing because, I mean, it's messed up wherever you go. I mean, my point was like moms like Susan Smith who kill their kids on purpose,
mm-hmm.
and I know it's funny like you're focusing on the names and the things like that, but I mean, this woman like and she forgot it was she didn't do it on purpose. I mean, she might have a problem with weed or she might just be undereducated, but.
Right, the story that Teresa. Well, no. First off, I never brought up what race. I thought there were Asian folks, and that's how you can tell. And when I said a racial component, I never said what race. I've never said black in this entire story. Yes, black folks love their kids. White folks love their kids. Everybody loves their kids. This person loved their kids. This person also loved weed and American Idol. That's the problem. I'm sure their intentions were not to drown their kids. That's the whole point. We don't give driver's licenses to 11-year-olds for a reason. Not because they want to get into car accidents. They don't know enough not to get into car accidents. And certain people of all colors, religions, shapes, and forms should not be able to have multiple kids. I don't want to break this up along color lines or racial lines. On the other hand, if every single one of them happens to be a certain color, so be it, as long as they meet the criteria for not crapping out kids. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, my point was that, I mean, yeah, we do have some messed up people in our culture, but I just thought you didn't say anything about, you know, Susan Smith or the Appalachian Hillbillies who...
Well, I was railing about religion in the break before, and yes, look, believe me, I understand white trash. I grew up around it. It is the exact same thing. It's poor.
How would I know that?
It's poor people who aren't educated who are crapping out kids. And those people come in every shape and color. Now, it comes in a disproportionate color between, let's say, black, Latino, and Asian. Thus, I would like to focus on the disproportionate problems. It's like saying, well, sickle cell affects blacks, but let's go ahead and hand out the medicine to all the different cultures because we need to focus even-handedly on everyone. I want to find the culture that has the biggest problem with whatever the problem is and focus on that culture.
To Ryan's point, I once did mm-hmm. a story on poverty in Appalachia, and I went over there. You'd be shocked to find out, if you were to look at the 10 poorest counties in the United States, you would probably think, well, Watts, South Central, they'd all be urban areas. Mm-hmm. But most of the poorest counties in the United States are West Virginia, they're Indian reservations.
Oh,
a lot
yes.
of them are Appalachians. He's right.
First off, I never said black. I just said I assume they were Asian, and then everyone laughs when I assume they're Asian.
Ryan's got something against Asians.
All right, T.
Moving on.
Moving on with the news. Someone also had a birth control that you could smoke, which I thought was a very interesting idea. And someone else wants to annex Mexico, which is fine with me as well. Although, you know, the plan I've had for over 10 years, which is move the Jews out of Israel and give them to Mexico.
You think we'll do a good job with it?
You guys could use some desert without a bunch of nut jobs that are trying to blow you up every 10 minutes. And last time I checked, you're pretty good at crunching numbers. And that economy over there could use a handful of Jews. Let's face it.
Okay.
Seriously, let me say this.
Yeah.
Seriously, here's how life works. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Somebody was telling me about a neighborhood. That neighborhood is called Eagle Rock. It's Southern California out here. I'm just saying we have people that listen all over the world, so sure. I'm trying to paint a picture. They're over here. They're over in they're in the valley, San Fernando Valley. Said it's kind of on the rise. I said, yeah, it's kind of like Silver Lake. Silver Lake, another area that's really on the rise. I said, Eagle Rock just needs some gays and everything will be straightened out. And the guy started laughing. And I said, I'm serious. Gay guys move into the neighborhood. They don't have a whole bunch of kids. They don't have a bunch of sofas parked on the lawn. They don't have eight cars up on blocks. They come in. They clean the place up. The prices, the property value goes up. Just go to the gay part of town and see if the buses are running on time. See how the lawns look. See if there's any graffiti. You need gays. Now, you don't want all gay. You need a sprinkling of gay. You need gay. You need Jewish. You need Mexican. You need black. You need white. You need a nice calico mixture. And that's what works because everyone has their own strengths. Mexico, not enough gays and woefully short in the Jew department. That government over there, those people over there, it's Mexican on Mexican over there, and it ain't working out. They don't have it mixed up. We need to actually, you know what we do with bees?
Yeah.
We go to beekeepers, and they go 500 miles away. Guys take bees, and then I got a whole crop of cherries. And I go, hey, man, bring your bees over. And you bring your bees over, and you let your bees loose on my crop of cherries. And they go ahead, and they fertilize everything. They pollinate everything. And then you collect your bees, and you go home. We need to do that. You need to get rid of the word bees, put in the word Jews, and go to Mexico.
And just unleash us?
I'd like to be a Jew keeper.
Jew nation.
Now, do you have to wear the outfit with the
I don't have to.
But to be safe.
You don't want to get stung by a Jew. Those huge beaks. Like, pow! Hit you with that stinger.
Very sharp.
Oh,
you step on one.
You guys tell me if Mexico, you tell me better or worse place if I went and rounded up a million Jews from Israel and went and dropped them off over there in Mexico. And then 10 years from now, better or worse. They need Jews, they need gays. Just like your neighborhood.
See,
you want your neighborhood to go on the upswing? Import some gays. Pow.
How do you lure the gays and the Jews to Mexico?
Well, you walk with your... You leave the trap open in your jammies.
Okay.
That's one group. I'm not saying which group.
And the other one?
Well, I think, really, for Mexico's, you go, look, you guys are just sitting... here's what you like. You like flatbread, right? They got something called tortillas.
You say that's our matzah.
That's your matzah braai over there. I mean, right? You like unleavened bread. I got your unleavened bread. It's a tortilla. You like desert, and you like where the desert meets the ocean.
We like good food.
Good food, good times, plenty of ocean, plenty of desert, and guess what? Folks wearing explosive vests will not be coming into your pizza parlor. As a matter of fact, they don't have pizza parlors. That's how you know they won't be blowing anything up over there.
Gaza sounds like Baja.
That's right.
So strip of land.
Gaza.
That's right. There you go.
Get the Jews over there. Get the gays to pollinate your neighborhood, and they all will be right. All right, everyone knows I'm right. Here we go.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Here is my last story. It's about porn. According to a 2007 survey by Nielsen and Net Ratings, one out of every three people who looked at porn online was female in 2007. That's one out of every three.
Right.
But women are much more secretive about watching it than men. For their March issue, Maxim magazine went out and asked a bunch of women what kind of porn they liked watching. Mm-hmm. What they found is that women actually watched porno very differently than men. Guys watch it because they want to mimic what they see in a video in real life. On the other hand, women watch porno so they can see their fantasies, but most of the time they wouldn't act out those fantasies in real life. Some women said they like watching other women do things that they themselves would never do. The biggest example of that, you can probably guess, certain kind of relations.
Uh-huh.
Many women say they wouldn't allow that, but they don't mind watching other women do it.
Mm-hmm.
Other women like watching group sex.
Yeah, assocrits, we call them.
Right?
Yes.
And a lot of the straight women said they liked watching lesbians because guys don't care about a female's pleasure as much as other women do.
Mm-hmm.
Some women even admitted to watching guy-on-guy stuff because there were no women being treated as objects.
Yeah, I don't trust those chicks. Everyone should be revolted by that image.
Of man and men?
Yes, it's physically disgusting.
To a straight guy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Right.
No, no, it's heroin if you're gay.
Right.
Straight guys have a visceral reaction to
Absolutely. Many women agree that they like watching amateur couples who film themselves instead of professionally made pornos.
I've seen a few of those. I like the pros.
You prefer the pros to the...
It's like watching junior college football versus an NFL game. I like to know that we have the best and the brightest out there, not a bunch of guys that couldn't make the college team.
Right.
Lastly, according to Maxim's survey, they say women watch porn, some said a few times a week, others a few times a day.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than I would have expected.
A few times a day.
Yeah.
I would assume that they're on there looking up what their guys are looking up, checking up what guys. And the whole thing is once you stumble onto porn, you don't go anywhere for a while. It's like spotting wildlife. You ever walk around, you're taking a walk through a neighborhood or up in the hills, you're hiking around, you see a deer or some, you know, rabbits, a little rabbit hutch or something. You'll just stand there and stare at it. And you won't go anywhere until the deer goes somewhere. Porn's sort of that way, too. I would assume that these guys or these gals wanted to know what guys were up to because women always want to peek behind the curtain to try to figure out what turns the guys on.
Yeah.
Thus, they could do it as well. Hmm.
And nobody turns away from Two Girls in a Cup. I'm Teresa Strasser. Oh. That's the news sponsored by MSN. Have you gone to MSN today?
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser.
I have an idea. Well, maybe I shouldn't say it. Three girls in a tuba. I don't want to say anything yet. I don't want to explain how it works, but the tuba is attempted to be played.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say. I probably said too much because we're still working on it.
Yeah,
now.
One girl plays the tuba.
Oh, I know. No, you're right. There's actually four girls. There's actually four girls. Oh. That's right. There's three. Okay. I've said too much.
Yes.
Patty Stanger. Is
Millionaire Matchmaker.
The Millionaire Matchmaker, new series on Bravo. I, fortunately, am a huge fan of the show and have many questions for her. And Patty is not one of these dating experts that tells you not to be a one-upper.
Right. She actually knows things.
She actually possesses knowledge.
Don't be a one-upper, like I said before.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Patty next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Men are looking for the supermodel looks with the master's education, who doesn't work, but has money in the bank so they can travel all around the world with them. The ungettable get, as we like to say. And my job is to basically curb them of the unrealistic expectations and give them a reality check, because it ain't happening. She doesn't exist like that.
And now, millionaire matchmaker Patty Stanger on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I'm a big fan of the show, Patty.
Thanks. I'm a big fan of yours.
Well, thanks, sweetie Petey. I watch the show every Sunday via the TiVo with my lovely wife and our doggies and our kitties, and we all watch these guys. And it's usually the same story where Patty goes and interviews the guy and is like, what are you looking for? Good head on her shoulders. I like a sense of humor. And the guy's like 44 years old, and they go, what about looks? Well, she doesn't have to be a supermodel.
Boom.
What about age? I don't know, mid-30s, early 40s. And then Patty shows them the chicks, and they go right for the 19-year-old. And she's popping her gum when she's chewing it. She's playing with hair. And then the guy tries to pull this crap on Patty, which I always love. We had a connection. No, you had a connection with her fake boobs.
Right, you know? Right.
Hey, well, I felt a connection.
The penis connection, as we like
yes,
to call it.
Yes, and then Patty laughs it off. But you let them go out with those girls, and it never works.
In the real world, we throw shills. which are real women who go undercover as decoys and basically set them up and then break them at the knees so that they fall in love with the girl. And just when they think they're going to get her, she says, bye-bye. And then I can create a soul and really work with the real person from that point in. They need a couple of bangs, you know.
They have to be broken down.
Yes, they're like stallions. You break them in the wild, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because these guys, and I can never figure it out, and I never want to pipe up in front of my wife, but I can never figure out why these guys, mostly attractive, mm-hmm. always rich, mm-hmm. seem to have so much going on, but yet can figure out the business world just fine and the relationships involved with that, but can't figure out how to connect with a woman.
Delayed adolescence.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they hit 40. You know, it's like when women hit 30 and they start panicking they're not married. Men hit 40 and they go through this like whole catharsis, like where, oh my God, I'm going to die and I'm going to die alone. Mm-hmm. So they start to look for the perfect woman, but the perfect woman doesn't exist. That's mm-hmm. the problem, you know?
Mm-hmm. And if she did, they're sort of like good carpenters, which I always talk to people, like they'll go, I used to be a carpenter, and people say, I'm looking for someone who's reasonably priced, honest, and does high-quality work. And I go, that guy's busy.
Or you can't afford him.
Sure.
He can't afford him, and he's got 1,000 other houses to get to before he gets to yours. So you
exactly.
think that guy's sitting around selling oranges on a freeway
exactly.
off-ramp looking for work, holding his tool bags? Believe me, that guy's busy.
Well, that's Patty, so you talked about the ungettable get, that right. some men, you know, in their late 30s and 40s are looking for somebody who looks like a supermodel but has a master's.
Mm-hmm.
Is there such a thing if you met that woman?
Cindy Crawford, but she's taken. And actually, I don't even think she went to an Ivy League school. I think she just was valedictorian of her class.
High school.
So, yeah, and that was how many years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Women today want to be Paris Hilton.
Right.
And that's the poster girl. And any way you slice it and dice it, they are attaining to that. Is a sense of entitlement going on in the 20-something generation. They don't want to work, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They think you should give them everything, and that's the way they live their life.
Well, beautiful women. I mean, you said...
We're talking about beautiful.
You said women. But when a woman is beautiful, the woman realizes she's beautiful, or better yet, when society points it out to her, mm-hmm. as we're apt to do over and over again, somewhere around her 13th or 14th birthday, they realize early and often, like jocks, why do I have to study? I have huge arms. I can run a 4.3 40. Why should I push a pencil around when I can go out and have a good time on the football field?
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of the equivalent with beautiful women. Once in a while, you find one that comes from an environment that's so structured and a family unit that's so strong that you don't get that. But that's the exception, not the rule.
Yeah. Usually, you know, it's really interesting. The uglier the girl and the unattractive ones are the really the bitchiest. They're the hardest ones.
Is that right?
Yeah. And they tend to get a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
They tend to be Jewish.
What?
Yeah, you heard it.
Are you Jewish?
Uh-huh.
So you can go ahead.
Yeah,
it's like
I can
the N-word.
It.
You
yeah.
get to say if you're black.
And they're usually from the East Coast, and they're usually from New York, and they're bitter and cold and weathered and nasty, and
okay,
it just can't be
Teresa's
sweet.
Teresa's sitting
I'm from New Jersey, and I know.
All right, so you're saying...
I'm a West Coast
You're
Jew,
attacking your own. Is
I
that
just,
what you're saying?
I love East Coast people, but they need to lighten up and not be so critical of people.
All right, what is then the Jewish component? I mean, what is it that the women have? Is it too smart for their own good? And
yes.
what I mean by that is too much up in their head versus just having a good time.
Yes.
And they're examining things too closely and breaking things down.
It's like buying a house. They spend too much time analyzing the deal rather than just letting the universe and the chemistry entail, you know?
Right. So here's what you're saying, and don't let me put words in your mouth, but here's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Jews smarter than Gentiles, and when you take smart people and you try to tell them their business, they go, no. Hate to play a stereotype, but attorneys are this way. And a lot of Jews are attorneys where you go, hey, let me explain. And they go, no.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what's going on. And not that you're even talking about the law. They're just people that are educated. They're smart. They think they're smarter than you. And they're not going to listen to you tell them how to get a date.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Versus dumb blonde who says, I'm all ears because I'm stupid and vacuous and you can talk all you
want.
They're
kind of like, they're very like, whatever, girls. Like, mm-hmm. blondes are like, okay, whatever. And like, on to the next one. And these people that I'm talking about tend to analyze and really get hung up on the last guy that did them wrong, and they spend days analyzing it and talking about it.
Teresa.
It's like the Nazis are chasing them. He's like, leave it alone and move
on.
Listen,
I met a guy, and 2 months into it, we were already talking about marriage, and 9.5 months into it, we're engaged, and we'll be married in June.
Yay! I'm so proud of you.
So,
yay!
And by the way, when I bought a house, I spent half a day looking.
Andy, she's off the market. That's my boyfriend. She's off the market. He had a crush on you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Andy. That's sweet. Can I ask Patty about her matchmaking skills?
Yes.
He's gay! Because Adam sometimes has a little bit of a knack. He's intuitive. When someone calls on the phone, he occasionally knows their profession or something about them, and it's a little creepy, but he's just dialed in. As a matchmaker, is your knack something like that?
Yeah, it's a gift. It's a knowing. It's like, but I can never do it for myself. I have to clarify that. I can only do it for others, because God doesn't give you the complete gift, you know what I mean?
And you don't pay yourself.
Exactly, there you go.
Which is the real reason you don't do it for yourself.
Exactly, there you go. But I can see two people and just know, and I'm always right. And I'll do it with celebrities in the news where I don't know who they are, like what their serious situation behind the closed doors
is
going on.
Okay, if I said Reese Witherspoon and Jake Gyllenhaal.
I think that, I'm not sure this is going to be a marriage match. I do think that they're very close. Mm-hmm. I do think she's gun shy, and I do think he wants it.
Mm. Brad and Angelina.
I think he wants to get married and she doesn't. She's fearful that it will blow up in her face. But, you know, they keep having babies, so, like, who needs a marriage agreement at this point, you know? Mm-hmm.
How about Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban?
She's a lock because she's Catholic and she's not going to get divorced again. And they went through the rehab experience in the very early stages of the relationship, which actually cements the deal, and they have a baby on the way. So this is a lock unless he goes off and goes into a drunken rage.
This is so fun.
How about Bald Brian and Optimus Prime from the Transformers series?
How about Tom Cruise
and Katie?
We're talking
about a gay relationship.
That's going to divorce.
Really?
Yeah. Some oil spilled.
After the second baby.
That'll
go wrong.
Big news. Tom and Katie, she says that
after second baby, they'll get divorced, where she'll get independent and get, like, Scientology will wear off.
Well, can I make this observation with those two? When Katie Holmes met Tom Cruise, she wasn't dating a handsome 5 foot nothing guy in Hollywood. She was dating Tom Cruise. I mean, it's like when you meet a celebrity. Celebrities are the same as any of us. They're starstruck by other celebrities as well. Correct. And I'm sure Katie Holmes grew up watching Tom Cruise movies. I mean, when Katie Holmes was a young girl, she probably saw Top Gun with her dad, probably on DVD. But the point is she was awed. In awe of Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. At a certain point, he becomes your husband.
Exactly.
And then the bloom is off the rose, and now you can get divorced because you're not divorcing Tom Cruise, you're divorcing your husband.
And a big empire of wealth also.
Right.
And if she wants independence, I bet you she'll hit like late 30s, early 40s, you know, maybe even earlier than that, and she'll just go, I had enough of the control. He's a real control freak. Anyway, you slice it and dice it.
How do people, we're talking to Patty Stanger, by the way, and I made a funny during the commercial, by the way, because someone was trying to pronounce your name, and I think it was Dawson said, it's Stanger. And I said, no, I don't think it's Stanger, it's Stanger. Stanger is her middle name.
Later, husband.
Or Danger. Danger's my middle name.
Well, that's the play. Next time someone pronounces it,
that was
Stanger,
actually really cute.
You say it's your middle name, and then it's funny.
My nickname used to be Stanji. Stanji in college. So
the process, quickly, because David Alan Greer is chomping at the bit in the green room over there.
Hey, Adam.
The process goes, the bachelors reach out to you, they pay a fee, that fee is good for a certain amount of time, you get 1 year.
But you get actually 2 months of freeze, which means it's 14 months.
And they come after you, and then the women, now they'll just get in line because you don't have to pay the women or they don't have to pay you.
We have millionaires too. You forget there's a flip. Oh. You'll see it on season two.
Oh, there's women going after men. But the women in season one that you set up with the guys, they just show up.
They're not guaranteed any dates. So we're not like pitching for the women. We're pitching for the men. We're qualifying for the men. So the women just show up, and if it's a match, they get their date. And if it's not, they go away.
Do you recruit the women?
Essentially an audition.
Yeah. But we don't really have, you know, we're branded. We were the original company that gave free to women. I started this business 9 years ago. I was the original millionaire matchmaker. It's like, everybody pretty much knows who I am, and I have offices in Canada and UK, and we're international. Mm-hmm. So it's like everybody in the world now wants to do this.
Can I ask you this? Not that you're, well, I don't see what would be the harm in mentioning this. In the 9 years that you've been doing it, has any woman ever showed up that turned out later to be somebody we've heard of, somebody who was a celebrity, somebody who was a model? I mean, I'm imagine
You get tons of 20-something-year-old attractive women who are here from Hollywood saying, I'm pursuing a career in acting or modeling, mm-hmm. but I'll go do this. It's not prostitution or pornography. I'd like to date a guy. Any names? Anybody you figured out?
I can't say the name because I'm like Hitch, but there is an Oscar winner.
Oscar winner who showed up.
A female. It was a nobody.
It was a nobody. Now, did she find a date?
She actually found love, but then she got too big for her britches and she dumped him.
Really?
Yeah, she was making her own K at that point.
Taylor Swank.
Yeah. I can't say who it is.
Why can't you say who
because
it is?
Because I could get in trouble. I have confidentiality waivers. I'll get sued. Who wants to go to law court?
I appreciate the fact that she doesn't say.
Yeah, and I also protect my clients because if they ever want to come back in, you know, I can, like a lot of people are repeat offenders. They're like George Clooney. They trade up every year, give a parting gift like a house or a car.
Right.
And then they come back in again saying they want a relationship. They do. They just don't want to get married.
Helen Mirren.
Right. I'm going with Mirren too.
Actually, I know someone who knows Helen Mirren and they're madly in love with Taylor.
All right. Patty Stanger, everybody. Remember, Stanger.
Tonight's the finale, so don't forget.
And Patty, when is this boyfriend Andy going to make an honest woman?
I don't know, Andy. You hearing Teresa? She's talking to you because he's listening right now.
Don't let this one go, Andy.
He's a great guy, though.
Millionaire Matchmaker, Tuesday night. Tonight, Bravo, 10 p.m., big finale.
And big engagement. Big engagement on the show. You're going to be shocked. Your wife and you're going to be shocked.
I watch every week. I always wait until Sunday, though, because that's my bedtime to watch and play with the twins, and I will be watching this weekend.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me.
Our pleasure, Patty. And David Alan Greer, DAG, otherwise known as my main man, has come in here. He may bring his friend Maya Angelou. I believe she has a poem.
Hey, Adam. Yeah. It's good to be here. I'd like to take you out for our imported beer.
The great Maya Angelou next.
Having a real good time. He's having so much fun. He will make you lose your mind. Teresa's reading the news on the Adam Cracker Holy Show.
Turn it off. I'm leaving. I want my music on.
I'm just really upset today. You put that stink ball on here before me. You had me waiting like I'm a common citizen. I hate you, Adam Carolla.
Patty Stanger's not a stinkball.
Patty Stinkball, who lives in Stinkalopolis.
She moved from Stinkalopolis.
She's a whoremonger.
She puts people together to have relationships.
She's
Dag.
A bastard.
You have a young child. A beautiful new bride. How's fatherhood treating you? Well,
I chew off her nose. My daughter is the most beautiful little baby.
She's an angel.
She's an absolute angel. I left my cell phone. I showed Teresa. You guys are going to adopt. I know, because at 47, you can't possibly.
Her womb is shriveled long ago.
That's hilarious. Let's get down.
You can get a womb like you got your fake diamond ring. Maybe it's man-made. Wombs.
I saw Harrison Ford running from it with a giant boulder behind him.
No, but really, Teresa, you haven't had to buy tampons since, what, 85?
Around there.
That's a change.
Around there. No, this is good. Let's wait. Let's hit everything. You got the old. You got the don't like my diamond. It's too small.
Well, it's not a real
What's
diamond.
What's left?
It's not
a real diamond. It is a real diamond.
Well, I wanted to ask you one thing. How
it's
are your
real.
Parents feel about it? I know you're in a same-sex relationship, so about you.
I wasn't expecting that.
And by the way.
Look out, bingo! Ow!
Dag, she comes from a mixed parent environment. You should be happy to have Teresa almost an honorary sister.
I know, but her mom did the wrong thing. She got the number two husband. She's not mixed.
Well, she's not mixed, but mom did the right thing and hooked up with a brother and is still together with him. And by the way, during a time when it wasn't very popular in the 70s and in the very oppressive Bay Area.
Yes. Well, after all those Sidney Poitier movies, I guess mama said, let me take a dip of some chocolate.
That's
Shabam.
Right.
The Bandigo.
She liked Mr. Tibbs.
Ooh.
She wanted a patch of brown.
Look it up, people.
Look out, baby.
Look it up.
Nice.
All right, so what's going on, Dag? Seriously, now how old's your kid? A couple months old?
You know what? I'm not going to be coddled and pushed around by you. Mm. This is a very important day, and I really came here to discuss politics because, you know, this is a big Tuesday when we get rid of Hillary.
Yeah, who do you
that
got?
That slag, that postmenopausal whiner.
I think I like Barack as well.
Barack Obama is a king. And you know what it is? I can't wait till he gets to be president. Because you know, all the brother, I'm going to be calling him. Hey, what's up, baby? What's up, doing? We met back and when you were in Detroit and you were saying, hey, and I was like, oh, go on, do your thing.
And Brock's going to be like, who is this? And Dak's going to be like, it's Jim Carrey.
No, this is a very exciting election. And I don't know if you guys have been following, but it's really getting dirty up there. You know, Hillary Clinton is putting out a lot of lies about Barack, and I think she's pushed it too far. Mm-hmm. I know one of her ads said Barack Obama has a small penis, and that's just
wow. You
know, that's not democracy. That's not
democracy. I have a couple of thoughts, really? And I'd like to bounce them off of you. First off, me and my buddy Ray decided that Barack is hung like a black rhino. I don't know why. Well, we just decided he was one of those skinny brothers with the huge schwants.
He looks like a dork, but he has a tool that goes down past his knees. And
right.
He's looking at you with a calculus book in his hand.
That's number one. You know why? Because he's a confident man, and that kind of confidence really only comes from having huge genitalia.
And did you see that last, debate? You know, and Hillary Clinton was getting more and more shrill. He gets really cool and calm. He says, let's not lose our heads, and she was like, this darkie tried to rig me, you know. He's like, okay, Hillary, look out, he's got a gun.
And then his penis took a sip off her cup. His penis actually popped out of the podium and drank off her cup.
Like, what was that? It's my joint hitting the floor. Let's just keep talking about NAFTA.
Yeah, the elastic in his sock wore out and the thing hit the floor. So, Dag, you're going for Barack.
I got to.
You'd like a man of color in there. I'm with you on that one.
Well, no. If you want to be serious, I will be serious for a moment.
Let's be serious.
I don't think Hillary Clinton represents anything new, any change, number one. I think that her experience is the same as Barack. She was married to a dude that was in charge. Mm-hmm. If she can handle things the way they say she can handle things, then her husband never would have stuck a cigar in the fat girl. Now, what I would like to say, I don't think she can win against the Republicans. I think nothing would please them better than to have Hillary Clinton as a running
Good point. I agree. Barack is very charismatic. He's good looking. People have that thing where they feel good about themselves, and we feel good as a country because we're so progressive. Yes. We're going to take a man of color and put him into the office versus the short-haired chick who is a little bit of a shrew versus the old guy, McCain. Yes, McCain will beat Hillary. I don't know that McCain will beat Barack. I think Barack will beat McCain.
McCain looks like he needs an enema and a nap.
He's going to be a tough guy to beat up because of his service to the country and the Hanoi Hilton and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think they have to run that kind of campaign. So let's just say Barack gets in. Now, here's what frightens me as a white person.
Uh-oh.
Barack gets in and he does a kick-ass job. I mean, it's palpable. I mean, the economy's turned around. The boys are out of Iraq.
Russell Simmons is in charge of domestic affairs.
He's the president.
Louis Farrakhan.
He's the interior secretary. That's right. Flava Flav is in charge of HUD.
Maya Angelou, poet laureate.
Maya, what?
You say Obama. I say Osama. When thinking of this election, one must look on great contestants of the past. Mm-hmm. Spanky versus Alfalfa. Mm-hmm. That's all I got. I didn't really have that. You know, as I told you, I came up.
Well, the point is Barack comes in and Barack does a great job.
Uh-oh.
And then we elect him to a second term.
Oh, boy.
Now it's 8 years of domestic bliss. Barack's doing a great job abroad. He's doing a great job here. No problems with his relationships. Economy's on the upswing. Now, here's my problem.
Oh, boy.
We start thinking, we got to get another black president in there. Because evidently, these people know how to govern.
I know what you mean.
Do you know what I'm saying?
We have rhythm, we have politics.
It's what happened with the NBA.
Oh, boy.
And before you know it, you blink your eyes, and it's an all-black NBA.
It's Queen Latifah.
You see what I'm saying?
Cedric the Entertainer.
And then 100 years from now, people are looking at each other going, do you think America's ready for a white president?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We have we have Curly and Meadowlark up
it's
there.
True.
Goose is a vice president.
But by then, Barack Obama is going to be soft. You know, the they're like the fifth black president gonna be, hey, what's up, y'all? Hook a brother up. It's David D. I want to be up in this bad boy. Pressing buttons and whatnot, you know. That's how we do it.
Peanut. Peanut will be elected.
I hope, please.
Peanut?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Peanut. I'm going to need you to.
Hope, please.
I'm going to need you to answer the White House phone.
Hope, please. Hope, please, please. Hello, White House, hope, please.
Yeah.
Who's calling? Who is it?
This is Menachem Begin.
Hold on. What are you laughing for?
No, I'm just.
No, I know for a fact this is not Menachem Begin.
No, I'm.
No, this is Adam Carolla, and you used to be my boss. You're not the boss.
It's Carolla.
Hold, please.
You're supposed to answer the phones here in the Oval Office.
Hello, please. Ooh, hi, Dee Dee. Hi. Yeah, come visit me at the White House, girl.
No personal calls on the White House.
Call the red phone. Dee,
no,
call, you breaking
no,
up?
That, no,
you
that, breaking up? Call that, me that's only if we it go to DEFCON nothing. 5, your president. Yeah.
That's her screen name, okay? Okay,
DEFCON 5 is yes. Not, no. Yeah. No, no, oh, it's not please. Def Jam oh, 5, it's DEFCON 5.
Yeah, I'm trying to get out the joint today. It's going to be a nice little party.
Dee Dee, we need you to focus on the Middle East and foreign policy.
My name is Peanut, okay?
Oh, I mean
my
Peanut.
You said Dee Dee.
No, I mean
you said
Peanut.
Dee Dee.
Peanut.
You said Dee Dee.
President.
You know what? I'm going to send Air Force One to come pick up your narrow ass and bring you to the White House. Because you know what we're going to do? Mm. We're going to do something that's going to be real nice. I'm taking out my hoop rings. I'm taking out my earrings.
No, no. President Peanut, what I need you to do is focus on domestic policy for just
you
one month.
You like the boss of me, Adam Carolla.
I know, but I am your advisor, and I need...
Hi, Angie. Hi. I say, thank God. Hold on. Ooh.
We have a problem in Cuba. Do you understand? President Peanut, there's a violent coup in Cuba. Like no, no, it's not a sandwich. Huh? It's an island. Hello? It's 90 miles off
hold
of Florida.
Me. Hey, wait, hold on. Wait,
they have
me.
A nuclear
excuse
arsenal.
Me.
They're
excuse
fixing
me.
It
excuse
on...
me. Mr. Adam Carolla, it's not a radio show, okay? I'm running the country.
I know.
I have things to do. Hold, please. Hold, please. Give me the president of Aquifer. Hello?
No, we need you to focus on a domestic policy, Peanut.
What is domestic?
Domestic. That yeah. Means here, on this in this country.
Uh-huh.
We need you to focus on a policy here.
Wait, why are you? Oh.
We have a situation with
Dee-Dee,
education.
Dee-Dee,
we have drug abuse.
Hold
we
on,
have prison overcrowding.
Dee-Dee, hit me up on the red phone.
No, Peanut. The red phone is only for
no,
impending
what's
nuclear
this button
strike.
Right here. Why?
No,
don't press it.
Don't press that button. No, you've just alerted everyone in Cheyenne Mountain to go ahead and
ooh,
blow up the
thank
universe.
Thank you, Mr. Sound Effects. Man, I was a little late. Ooh, the world blew up. Ooh, the world blew up. But I'm still here. I'm still here. Ooh, you know what? I don't like. I either pulled in a missile just went past my head. Ain't nobody here to talk to.
We need to take a break.
Hello, Dee Dee. Hello.
Peanut, President Peanut, in her bunker, the last person left on the planet.
It would last 7 minutes.
Now,
this
here's
been a
movie.
Wonderful reenactment.
There's only one man left. His name is Charlton Heston, and you have to repopulate the planet.
And he's senile.
That's right.
Mr. Heston, look at me. Look at me. It's Peanut.
You damn filthy ape, get your hands off
get
of me.
Get those McDonald's off my list.
Get your sticky paws off me, you damn dirty ape.
But Teresa, I want to get back to Teresa. Whose idea was it to get this Zarconi and Cutie Zarconi?
All right, hold on a second. We need to take a break. David Allen
Can
Greer.
Can I explain?
Yeah.
Not that
yeah.
You don't give me lots of time to talk.
Well,
but I'm going to ask for 30
jump
seconds
in. Danny
to explain Bonaduce when we
sure
come back.
How to jump
when
in.
We come
on.
Back.
I know.
Jacksonville, Florida
way,
is, where,
really well.
Is where David Allen Greer can be found. Thursday through Sunday.
Comedy Zone, baby!
The Comedy Zone. We'll take a quick break. T, you will have 30 seconds to
thank
explain
you.
Why.
I'm going to ask you to watch the clock. I want 30 seconds
why
without Dag talking.
Why
didn't
go the Blood Diamond route yes. Or your diamond? Okay, quick break. Back with Dag next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, we need you to pick up the phone. But Peanut, we did hire you, you know, as
forget
an operator.
You.
But Peanut,
Hello?
Sweetie,
hello?
It's me calling, telling you to answer the goddamn phone.
Hey, you sound like Adam Cracker.
It is Adam.
Hey, Adam. I need a hug.
No, we just hugged. I need you to answer the phone.
Okay, then hey. Okay, I'm going to hang up now.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you, Peanut.
Adam.
Yeah.
Can I bring my twins to work tomorrow?
No.
Forget you.
Peanut, they're in their 30s.
So forget you.
Okay.
And now more with David Allen Greer on the Adam Carolla Show.
What's happening, Dad?
That's my theme song.
Dag's going to be at the Jacksonville, Florida Comedy Zone on Thursday through Sunday. Is it tough to travel now with a young child? You don't want to leave your young child behind?
It is. Well, she doesn't listen to the show. Yeah, it is. It's very stressful to go to a hotel with porn.
Spectravision, right, and all the Elvis.
Well, my wife, she calls you because you're sitting around all day. You know, you should be calling the contractor, the baby online crib salesman. I said, no, baby, I'm working right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I may be watching TV, but this is work.
That's right. You're picking up premises for your jokes.
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm. She's falling.
No. Did you hear something?
Well, I thought it.
Was I not allowed to talk?
No, you didn't. Little Teresa.
Dag, you married a Korean woman. Is it because they're subservient and you can be the boss around the house?
She did not get that email.
She didn't get that one. Really?
She looks Korean, but from Detroit or something.
Really? Yes, wow. Not, that's a potent combination
when I
right
said,
there.
Do you have some black in you? She said, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
She's part Korean, part peanut. So that's really not a
And
good,
true, she fires a warning shot over your head every time you pull up the driveway?
No. No, she's so sweet. She's so loving. And you're racist. You're such a racist.
I know.
You are such a racist with your little plan.
Sometimes you just don't know how to respond, do you, Dag?
Well, I say three things come to mind when I think of Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
KKK. I really do.
Right.
I
know.
You have really gone to the dark side. What is wrong with you?
It's gotten worse, hasn't it?
What
it's intensifying.
Welfare? Let me tell you something. Welfare makes up less than 1% of this country's budget. If you want to bitch about something, bitch about military spending.
Hey, I would
that's
like to take
35%.
I like to take the military spending and put it into NORPLANT. That's all I'm saying.
Now,
but
Dad.
NORPLANT, unfortunately, that's the future of this country. NORPLANT and everybody who's broke and has no money, no motivation.
Right.
And they're
don't
the
want
ones
them to
who
have
are
kids.
Humping. They're the ones who are humping.
Right.
Look at Teresa.
Right.
She's 58. She's been trying to get married for 40 years. She probably ain't going to have a baby because her womb is dried up. And she's going to have to go and buy a kid.
I take that as a compliment because what you're saying is it would be a shame if I didn't reproduce.
No, what I'm saying is that if white people want people on the planet, you got to stop talking and start humping.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
So, I don't want it to be a... first off, it doesn't have to break down along racial lines,
you're
although
racist.
I know sometimes it does.
Racist.
It's not white against black or Hispanic or anything else.
How many black friends do you have?
I don't count Dag as
you count him.
I count him as white.
That's point 8.
Exactly.
No, I don't count him. Well, no, I count him as a friend,
that is a
but
racist.
As a white friend.
Why? Because I have money. I have I've never been in jail. Never got arrested.
You know what's funny? I had a black friend in high school that we used to hang out with because he was rich. There
really?
Were two, me and my buddy, the two white guys used to hang out with my buddy Tom because his dad was a surgeon and he lived up the hill. So we'd use him to go to his house and eat and watch his big screen TV.
Oh, my God. It was a big screen back in 75?
It was, yes, back when it was a big deal. Yeah.
But did he have one of those, I'm sorry,
go
Teresa,
ahead,
did you have something to say?
No, it's not important.
Keep interrupting me. What is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do nothing but talk nonstop for four freaking hours, Dag.
That's the Terry I fell in love with.
Yeah.
Before this temptress stole me away from you. When she gets angry, when her cooter gets ugly, boy, she's a wildcat.
Well,
she
speaking
really
of TC, what's you wanted 30 seconds to rebut.
May I have 30 seconds?
The editorial about your diamond.
I need a few ground rules.
All right, okay.
Go.
We
haven't, I'm not going to
sleep. Don't start the clock, Brian, please. I don't want any snoring.
Time. It's time. Now, I'm going to rebut. Shut up! All right, what?
No snoring.
Because I think this is actually interesting, and I've gotten a lot of questions about this online from women and men who are curious.
But did anyone call in today about it?
No.
Someone's on the phone right now.
All
right, Rich on line
person,
one.
If that person says, I'm not in charge of the show. I'm really not. Adam, let me suggest this. If this person calling, if this person calling says, I need to be quiet, he wants to hear Teresa's point of view, let's urge her to go. It's on him.
Rich?
Hey, man. Hey, I love the show.
Thank you. Would you like Dag to bite his tongue while T gives her 30-second speech about blood diamonds?
I never get tired of hearing Dag, however. I think, you know, Dag, you are my favorite guest on the show, one of the funniest people alive. If you and Sacha Baron Cohen could sire a child, it would be the Jewish blood.
Awesome!
Wow. That would be the funniest.
I would hump his hairy little butt.
Puts the boar in Borat.
However.
What did you say?
That would be a funny damn kid.
However, now,
all right, go ahead, bro. What you do?
The past few appearances, you've gotten increasingly harsher to Sweetie T, and I think it's because she is off the market and you're jealous.
Mm. Cut this man off. He's clearly an idiot.
All right.
I hate you. What is your name, sir?
His name is Rich.
I hate you, Rich. I rename Rich bitch. Now, get him out of here.
Is there any truth to what Rich is saying?
No.
Oh, I can read it in your face.
Well, this is radio. People can't read it in my face.
I'm telling you, people who are listening.
Leave me alone. I hate Teresa. If I would pinch her until her skin turned red.
Dag had a crush on Teresa.
I hate Teresa.
I know. You hate them just like a little schoolboy would go pull on the pigtails. Oh, no. He's actually becoming physically ill.
I would never hum on Teresa's beautiful body.
Wow. This is so sad.
I hope she has a great marriage to that girl. Teresa, do you kiss him with your tongue? See, no.
I don't want to exacerbate your illness, Dag, but they're very intimate. They're very much in love. They have a kind of bond that you can only dream about having.
Adam, I'm cold. I need to change my undies.
Okay, well.
Teresa, I hate you, Adam. I would take Teresa and beat Adam with Teresa.
Oh, wow. Now, I feel like you don't even know what you're saying anymore.
I would make an Eiffel Tower sculpture out of her boogers. Hey, Teresa.
Dang, I'm going to ask.
I don't make pictures, an ugly picture of her with her duty. I don't like her.
I'm going to need you to compose yourself. Dang. Dag, you're a man of 46 now. Please compose yourself.
That's 52.
Oh, sorry. Please compose yourself.
Okay.
All right, now, T.
I'm going to give her 3 seconds. I'm not going
to
say
anything. You chose to have a diamond that was a culture diamond.
They're called culture diamonds. They're optically and chemically diamonds. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what happened. Mm-hmm. A general in the military, they needed to make diamonds for electronic applications, but they're expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So he figured you could get a diamond seed, you could replicate the conditions of a mine in a machine,
uh-huh,
and you could make a diamond.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
going to
leave.
Now, right now, they can generally only make color diamonds. I have a canary.
Mm-hmm.
But they're working on it.
Really? So they're going to be able to make culture diamonds. But here's what I want to say about that, and
yes,
I can dig it, but as I've said many times, I didn't agree to give her the 30 seconds. By the way, that felt like 10 minutes.
I can't have 20 more seconds.
No, you can't.
Let me say this
quickly.
You
and your homosexual diamonds.
I agree with you in the whole blood diamond thing.
Yeah.
But the one point that you're missing,
yeah,
and it's a good thing that you're missing this, I wish more women were missing this, is the effort part and the money part. It's not the part
way
where it's the same.
Way more effort to track,
like,
down one of these babies.
But it's like it's me saying, look, hey, Dag, I have this Honus Wagner baseball card. Well, it's not an exactly a Honus Wagner baseball card, but it's exactly the same. No. I made it on my computer. You can't tell it apart. Well, here's the deal. That ain't worth the cardboard it's printed on. Why? It wasn't made 70 years ago and has no value. But it's exactly the same. But what a woman and what a baseball card collector wants to know is that he has that Honus Wagner baseball
card. Brother, you're breaching to the point.
May I make a couple of points?
Shut your pie hole! Adam, it's like if I came to you and I said, you know what? I've got a Lamborghini. It's really a Ford Fiero. But
I know it's difficult to grasp. It's a complicated concept. It's brand new.
What?
But it is a diamond. Now, think about this. A few years ago, it was fine to wear a fur. Nobody looked at you twice. That's going to be diamonds. And I don't mean to offend anybody who has a diamond. Dag, seriously, just shut up for 2 seconds and let me speak.
He's not talking technically.
The scarcity of diamonds.
He's allowed to snore.
She just hit me.
He's not talking.
Go ahead.
I said no snoring.
Oh, no. Ow! She's Get off me, you whore.
Wow. You don't see too many Jews beating up black people.
Honey, I'm not coming home.
This is rape. This is nothing short of rape.
Got a chubby.
I bet she won't come over here.
Give me 15 seconds. Right, uninterrupted.
Right, go ahead, really. I'm through. I'm not going to.
Aside from the fact that my... Knock it off. Now, aside from the fact that blood diamonds fuel bloody civil wars and encourage human rights abuses, little kids getting their arms cut off. You know what? Little kids right now are dying because you're snoring. How do you like that? While you're snoring, a little kid is getting his arm cut off to mine a diamond for rich people like you so they can show off. And you know what else? Diamonds have no value. It's a myth perpetuated by the diamond industry. Little black kids. Yeah, little black kids in the mine.
He cares.
I'm saying the rich car.
They're in Africa. They're
doesn't care about his brothers and sisters.
I do too. This is a cabal of racism.
The scarcity of diamonds. Shut up, you, Brian.
That's not me.
I will take you right down. Right, I will snap you like a twig.
That's me. I'm sorry.
All right.
I found some new kind of snoring sounds today, boy. That was like, I was
you're
like,
you're going to find this pen
wood
right up your nose where the snoring is coming from.
You know what you just said to me? You said take off the wedding ring because we're going to wrestle.
Listen, the scarcity of diamonds is an illusion created by the diamond industry. It's a useless, valueless hunk of rock.
It's
not worth anything.
Well, no, I'll tell you.
It's a semi-precious stone.
It has
a
ton of industrial applications.
The military tried to make it.
Oh, yes, it's what's used in cutting.
You are being manipulated.
Now, connect that with the 9/11. I know you think the diamonds made the buildings fall.
It's a well-orchestrated ad campaign, and you know who buys the diamonds? Men.
Right. No,
they're the ones getting scammed.
Here's the thing. T, you are 100% right,
absolutely,
except for the part where I've said many times women want the expense. The fact that it's not really worth anything.
Here's the thing.
Doesn't make a difference to them.
It is worth something. It costs a quarter of a mine diamond. But if you want a canary diamond like I have, they're extremely expensive.
Why?
So I would never have afforded a canary diamond this size.
Why don't you get a cubic zirconia?
Because that's not a diamond.
This is a diamond. This is a cultured diamond.
Look at
just
me,
like
Teresa.
A cultured pearl.
Look at me, Teresa.
Yeah, exactly like a cultured pearl.
Exactly. Except for cultured pearl doesn't have the same value, sadly.
It doesn't.
This has a quarter of the
value. Adam has hair like a black man, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
He is not a black man.
Oh, I...
Okay? He's not.
Me and Dwayne Dog Chapman are... By the way, I've officially been welcomed by the Big Black Caucus.
That's why Adam feels free to drop N-bombs.
How dare you call me non-black? All right, we need to take a break. T's point is very well taken.
Man, I am rested. I'm ready to perform.
I agree wholeheartedly with you. Hey, Dag, why don't you stick around?
No, I will not stick around.
Please, because
I'm not wanted.
I want to talk politics with you.
You are wanted.
I want to talk politics with the callers as well at 866-901 Adam.
Obama.
Hillary Clinton, who do you think we're more ready for in the White House?
Obama. Have you heard his new commercial?
Mm-mm. You about to get screwed by the family. And this time you will be satisfied. Obama 2008.
We'll take a break. Obama, and he's holding a snifter of Courvoisier.
You're going to be smoking a cigarette after this one.
Who needs a cool? Quick break. Yeah. Back with Dag next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show and another episode of How Bad Is Whoopi? On today's episode, Whoopi opens the show with a Barbara Walters impersonation.
Welcome, 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 welcome to The View.
And the girls are excited.
The girls are very excited. And speaking of girls, one of the girls is not with us, as you know. Barbara is not with us because she's in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. She does those marvelous interviews with those marvelously famous people. So that's where Barbara is today. But she'll be back with us soon, perhaps next week. I just want to let everyone know where she was.
Yes.
Stay tuned for more How Bad Is Whoopi? Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
David Alan Greer in studio.
Can I tell you, do you love Whoopi Goldberg as much as I do? I tell you, if I'd have known that The View was hiring black men for a new host, I would have auditioned.
She's not nearly as funny as Sherry Shepherd is.
Excuse me? She?
Whoopi. Oh, no. Oh, Whoopi's a lady. Her voice sounds a little husky because, I don't know, maybe she used to smoke or she's going through menopause.
Live? Yeah. Is this live?
Remember, she won Best Supporting Actress?
You are right.
She was the first black man to host the Oscars?
Yes, she was, and I am standing in a puddle of faux pas. That's what I'm saying. Can we erase this?
Well, wait a minute. You didn't know. You thought Whoopi was a dude?
I tell you what. I feel like Dana Bonaducci. I messed up my line. With the doggone it, I messed it up. What?
You just thought she had like the Lennox Lewis hairdo? She does wear pantsuits.
She does. One time I was on that, was it Hollywood Squares? And I used to bring like 5 changes of clothes because they do everything. And I just had 1 change of clothes. She said verbatim, go in my closet. You can wear something.
Yeah. Bad.
And did so I went, I had to go in her closet. So I went in her closet and it was kind of, sexually neutral, like moo-moo poof shirts. And I was like, one part of me said, I really should do this just to talk about it. But then then my gonads dropped once.
She wears a lot of hoodies and things.
Yeah. I can see you in a gender neutral moo-moo.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? You're in a gender neutral relationship. You can't have this, Teresa.
Wow.
Back off. I'm not for sale. Okay.
All right.
I'm not on an auction block like you did my forefathers.
I'm sorry. Okay. That wasn't me.
Whatever.
When you do Hollywood Squares, you do 5 shows on one Saturday. And so they tell you to bring 5 different changes. And I thought, I'm bringing 5 shirts, but I'm not bringing 5 pair of pants because I'm sitting down in the corner box over there. And I got that thing where I played like 2 games without being called on. Yeah. And it doesn't usually get insulting except for when your square is the logical one to block. Like I'm sitting in the upper right and I have 2 X's underneath me. And now the other guy goes and he needs to go to my square in order to block. And he just decides to pick another square somewhere else with like Charlotte Ray in it or something. That's when it's a slap in the face. It's not a slap in the face not to be picked, although it is a weird thing because they pick the celebrities that they know and like. But when it actually, and it's a fairly simple game, strategically, they need to pick you to block, and they still don't pick you, slap in the face.
Well, you know, what a lot of people don't understand is that the responses, these witty, Paul Lynn-esque responses are written.
Right.
And most of these retards just read them. But when I did it, I crossed all that stuff out. I said what I wanted to say. And who was I sitting next to? Some actress who said, who wrote you that joke? It was like it actually came from my butt. Okay.
I thought it was quite courageous, that diatribe about how the Jews were responsible for 9/11.
Well, you know what? I go out on a limb, Adam.
It's edgy. It's the kind of edgy stuff you could see in Jacksonville if you go see Dag.
Well, did you ever hear my 30-second response to fake God made diamonds? That is a barn burner.
It really
that
is
a barn burner.
Keith on line 3 has a question. Hey, Keith.
Yes.
What's happening, Keith?
Not much. It's actually Heath with an H, like candy bar. But
Heath.
Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Like the dead actor.
And
that's right.
You will. You say you're voting for who this year?
He just died. That's so rude.
I'm going to go for Obama, and I've only voted once in my life. He's the first time I feel like I want to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him why. Tell him why, Heath. Tell him why, brother.
Mostly because Hillary Clinton scares the heck out of me, and I don't want nothing against the woman in the White House, but she hasn't had sex in about 20 years. And that can get
sexism?
Really
I never wanted
wrong.
To be in a position to have to defend Hillary, but the sexism against her is so
in about
5
years,
deep.
You're going to look like Hillary, okay? So then you can be a defender.
That's what I'm talking about.
And
it's so intense.
Can you let Heath talk? Go ahead, brother.
Heath, what color are you?
I'm purely white. Mm-hmm. German.
There you go.
But Obama, man, he's just got soul and charisma.
Yeah. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you something, Heath. Doesn't Hillary sound like the wife we never wanted to have?
Sexism.
Why didn't you? I asked you to bring paper toweling. If you look through my proposal, my housing proposal, it said bring paper toweling.
Yeah, don't want to make her mad. She's a little too pent up.
Hey, can I ask this, Dag? And thank you, Heath. And I agree. I'd like to shut the blacks up, too, and vote for Barack. Now.
Yeah, but I'm worried about that. I'm worried about that. Because I think, like, once Barack Obama becomes president, you're going to have some redneck like you, you know, who own slaves and stuff. Well, I voted for Barack.
No, listen, first off.
So I'm not a racist.
I did not own slaves. My dad owned slaves.
Okay,
that's number one. Number two, I had a couple of slaves in high school. That was just to carry me from class to class.
What about Ozzy?
Ozzy who? Ozzy Osbourne?
That MFer.
Thank you.
Castillo.
That guy gets $25 an hour from me. And you know what he's doing? He's eating at my house
now.
He's having sex
at your
with
house.
My wife.
I came over one day, Teresa.
Yeah.
Ozzy was chained in a small shed.
To a radiator with plenty of drinking water. He had plenty of...
He said something to me. I don't know what it was.
Is he allowed in the home?
No, he's not. And he had little Pampers on. And he said, baby, we're doing things with horrible people.
I don't know what that meant. Guy a ton of money to eat at my house.
He pays him in peanut shells. He told Ozzy that they were like diamonds, but they weren't real diamonds, but they were worth just as much. In years to come, they would be worth more.
I'm sorry you've been brainwashed
by the diamond industry to think that a bigger diamond means a bigger expression of love.
I'm sorry you're wasting
your money.
Can I ask you this?
I'm sorry you eat cocky for breakfast every day.
Dag.
Good one.
What? Can I ask this?
You're on fire.
I've heard this from a few people, and tell me what you think. That Obama, if elected, will be assassinated. That will not tolerate a black president.
That's not true.
I agree.
Not immediately. I think he's going to make it to lunch.
6 months?
I think he's going to make it to lunch. He's going to make it to the inauguration.
First thing you do is you probably get Al Sharpton as vice president or possibly Wesley Snipes. That eliminates the assassinate the guy who's president because you're going to get a blacker president to fill.
I say Flavor Flav.
You get Flavor Flav as vice president. Yeah. But I always say this. Every president somebody wants to assassinate, we have security and snipers on the roof for that, right?
Let's not talk about that. You know, I was worried before, but then I said, that's old thinking. I think that's old thinking. I think, I don't know, man. I really don't know. This is,
can I ask you this?
It would be history making if either one of these, candidates made it
in. That's true.
So.
What would be, can I ask you this?
Yeah, go ahead. Ask me anything.
What would be, and T, you open your mind up to, and if you're
but
listening
not my mouth.
In your car, what was that?
I
heard noises coming out of that place where she puts the food
in
the penises.
Here's what it is.
Quiet down.
T feels like she's not a real diamond. She feels like...
All right, let me pose this...
Stop it! She tried to throw a stapler at
me! Let me pose a hypothetical. Better or worse for this country... that Barack gets the nod from the Democrats and is beat out by McCain, thus we're not ready for a black president.
Right.
Or Barack gets the nod, becomes president, gets assassinated.
Oh, if they do that, he will
terrible.
Be not Barack, he'll be...
But on one hand, we elected him and we said, yes, we were ready for a black president.
Right.
And this was the move of a crazed man who killed him.
Let's take it further. What if Oprah Winfrey kills him? It is revealed that they had a torrid affair and there's an Oprah baby somewhere in silence.
That's a very viable point.
Maybe?
What do you guys think? Seriously, stick to that question.
Okay.
What do you think?
Let Teresa, you respond first. I know I've been very rude this morning.
Let me apologize, really.
Teresa, I want to formally apologize. I'm bored myself. Sorry. I'm kidding. Go ahead. I'm not going to interrupt. Go ahead. But you really say
black
what you want
to say. Black man elected and then assassinated versus couldn't get elected with an old white guy.
Hold on. Teresa, I want you to respond.
Let me apologize.
Because I'm not going to say a word. Okay, this is your time. I'm just going to sit here. Go ahead. Teresa's responding from here right now. Go.
John McCain. Wait, let's try it again. John McCain. I got two words in that time.
Dag, I wish you could come with me everywhere I went, and every time somebody just opened their mouth and said, I'd sit down with my accountant, and he'd say, look, you're not getting the return on, okay, T-bills, 401k, by the way.
Would you take him to a dance lesson with you?
No, she's too hot. She's too hot, but it would be awesome if you got pulled over and you had Dag in the back seat and the guy came around the window and he's like, okay, you know why I pulled you over? Okay, you understand, we're having a lot of accidents on this road because a lot of folks are driving without their lights on at dusk. So the reason I went ahead and pulled you over is... How awesome. Jack Silver pulls me into his office.
Oh, my God.
I'm sitting in Jack Silver's office, and Jack's like, look, what we got to do is manage the clock.
I need you to go ahead and orchestrate the clock over there. And Teresa's news in the 7 o'clock hour. Wouldn't it be great just to have Dag snoring his ass off?
Now, how about at home if your wife wanted to talk to you about Valentine's Day?
Wait a minute. Better yet, one of our friends. It'd be like, guess who's pregnant? Do you remember Tammy from work? I used to work. What do you mean you don't remember? Same cubicle. She called the other day. She said her and her boyfriend, Mark, were going to get...
He inhaled the mic.
Oh, man, this is really hurting my throat.
Dang, I don't care what they're, whatever they're paying you at the Comedy Zone in Florida, in Jacksonville, I will double it if you will follow me around. If you will follow me around for one day and just snore.
I got to do my snoring ringtone.
There she goes.
No, I'll bring you to dance practice. And little Julianne will be like, look, if you want to win this competition, you're going to have to.
Do they have older dancers? By the way, you're a big homo. You're doing this dancing thing.
Thank you. So all right, listen, we need to take a break. Dag, hang out, please. Where are you going?
No,
you're
Teresa, going anywhere. No, Teresa, she hates me.
She always hated you.
But she put her butt in my lap. That's not
I was trying to strangle you.
She's got the news. Tease the news,
with your vagina lips? That's not strangling.
Tease the news.
Really?
Okay. Is Dag going to be here?
Dag will be here.
Well, the news
Teresa
is...
Teresa doing the news. She got dumped in her panty drawers on. Now she getting married, getting her husband on. With that fake domino, it's the Adam Swift on the show.
Thank you, Teresa T. Tease.
There's going to be a lot of snoring. All right, that I know. And some news.
We'll do the news with David Alan Greer. Jacksonville. Thursday through Sunday at the Comedy Zone. Quick break, back with the news and Dag next.
Scratch it off.
Here we go. And we're back to the Adam Carolla Show.
David Alan Greer, Dag.
My
only black friend, but I don't count you as black. You're one of the good ones. Yeah. David Alan Greer.
A racist, my KKK. You know what? I want to say something, really. Adam, I know I come on here and I do these characters, these crazy voices. People, they find me amusing. I try to humbling for me. Really, can I, stop with the drops, really? This is serious stuff, sir.
Excuse me. Leave it to death row.
Stop it. No laughing. Really serious. I just want to, excuse me? I just want to, come on, really. Let me just say this. All right. Teresa, I just want to come on. You can laugh, but I'm going to have this moment anyway. I just want to come straight.
Hold on, she's Jewish. She was just breathing too close to the mic. That was not snoring.
I don't want to be like other people that worked on this show. I just want to really apologize, Teresa. I'm sorry, for disrespecting you. I'm happy about your marriage and your husband to be. And do the news, all respect. You know what I'm saying? Let's start off on a new foot.
All right.
Let's do it.
So thanks,
good news, man. I'm not gonna snore.
Let's do that.
I appreciate
the news
that.
With Teresa Strasser.
Teresa, she's got a lot to say. There's things going on all around this world that Teresa and her ass are gonna talk about.
The weather could be a major.
I fooled ya!
No, really. Go ahead. Go ahead.
The weather could be a major player in today's voting in Ohio. A winter storm warning.
Just be pro.
Okay.
Push through. You're being professional.
Is in effect for Northwest Ohio counties, and that could keep some voters home. Barack Obama tries to extend his winning streak over Hillary Clinton as voters go to the polls in Ohio, Texas, Vermont, Rhode Island.
All right, can I ask this? If Barack wins, we'll know in the next couple of days, and that'll be it.
Obama has won 11 straight Democratic contests heading into today's primaries. Most experts say that if Hillary doesn't get a major win, she's done.
Do they say, what if she wins Ohio but loses Texas?
Well, it may go all the way to the, which is what happened with Bill Clinton.
To the what, Teresa? To the what?
To the convention.
With people in that room where they're all talking and stuff with the
convention. I don't know why it's hard to think when someone's... Hard to focus.
Will we glean from this whole experience that this country is more gender bias than it is racial bias.
It would seem that way.
What we'll figure out.
Well, look at all the knocks on Hillary. She's strident. She's bitchy. She's aggressive. She's stern.
Right. But I believe, and I've always sort of believed this, I think people like Barack. I mean, I think he's incredibly charismatic.
He's a likable guy.
And I think it just transcends skin color completely.
It does. When George Bush was running, that this is really to the key. When George Bush was running, I remember they interviewed this guy and he says, well, look at George Bush just looks like a guy I'd like to have a beer with. And that's why I'm voting for him. I don't want to have a beer with
my president. That was a horrible idea.
I don't want to have a beer with
my
president.
Don't mess with Texas.
Most people agree that they aren't happy with the Bush presidency, and the majority of Americans want us out of Iraq.
Wait a minute. What did you say?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear. I'm sorry. I should have been listening. I'm sorry. What did you say?
Not doing a good job.
Sorry.
People don't like
Bush.
His approval rating is low.
Can Teresa talk?
Bush should have lost to Gore. It would have been the greatest thing historically for his legacy. It really would have been.
Hysterically.
That's right. Meanwhile, McCain. McCain could wrap up the GOP nomination today if he wins both Ohio and Texas, which seems quite likely at this point.
And there's an ageism which is going on as well with McCain. And by the way, probably transcends all the other isms, because certainly living out here in Hollywood, an older actress does not get the work of a younger actress. And the same with men as well. You get different roles. But the discrimination in terms of employing people, and forget about Hollywood, there's probably more ageism, if I'm using that term correctly, than there is sexism or racism involved with hiring or not hiring practices. Am I right?
Wasn't Ronald Reagan pretty old?
Younger.
He was the oldest president.
Younger than McCain, Jessica Alba, and had black hair.
Jessica Alba's playing a grandmother in her next film.
Really?
I know, but she's such a versatile actress.
She really is. I think she could pull
off
any.
Now. She's old. She's 27.
Any role. All right. So the point is we will have the opportunity to have a gender problem, a race problem,
and
an age problem, which never really got factored in. And the ageism could turn out to be the top of the discrimination pyramid. There may be more people.
Reagan didn't seem old until he fell off that horse. McCain really is.
Well, Reagan was younger. Reagan, I think, was like 68 and he's 72 or something like that. But the other thing, too, is he had 80 gallons of Grecian formula stuck to his head, and it was the appearance of the young guy. He was like that guy, remember the juicer guy with the huge eyebrows? That was like Reagan. The guy's like, the essence of the vegetable, the essence of life is in this apple.
McCain should act like that guy.
He should be like the juice. He should wear a sweatsuit, and when he shakes your hand, crush it like a crazy old guy.
Jack LaLanne designed his own clothes.
Jack LaLanne's house, opened his closet, and seen 73 jumpsuits with the elastic belt worked into it and his initials on the breast. But yes, he should be like the old crazy guy who juices and then crushes your hand whenever you shake it.
Absolutely. Adam, you know what? I love you, man, but really, I think I'm not the captain of this ship, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm just a passenger.
Right.
I come to visit now and then. I really do think I need to step in here. Can we just hand it over to Teresa?
I'm sorry. Rest of the news?
Yeah. Hillary Clinton has been running a commercial.
It's funnier when you know it's coming.
Even when you know, it's still hilarious.
Hillary Clinton, yes.
Has been running a commercial that blatantly attacks Obama.
Really?
Does she really? And that your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House and it's ringing. Something's happening in the world. Your vote will decide who answers that call. Whether it's someone who already knows the world's leaders, knows the military, someone tested and ready to lead in a dangerous world. It's 3 a.m., and your children are safe and asleep. Who do you want answering the phone?
Wow.
I'd like Peanut to pick up.
Hello?
Hey, listen, we got some trouble in the Middle East, Mrs. President.
Oh, please. This is not Mr. President Peanut.
Oh, okay. Peanut, I need you to put...
Hey, let me call you back.
I need you to put President Barack Obama on the phone right now.
Mr. Barack Obama is busy, okay?
Right, but we have a crisis. We're DEFCON 3 here.
You know what? You're going to have a crisis if you keep yelling at me.
Okay.
Now, where you at right now?
I am a four-star...
I'm taking off my earrings. I'm taking off my flip-flops.
I am calling you from I'm deep inside Cheyenne Mountain. This is NORAD.
I don't know who Cheyenne is or where the mountain is, but I'm going to walk there without my flip-flops and
whoop your monkey behind. We have a DEFCON 5 situation here. Listen, I need to speak to the president.
DJ
missiles
is.
Have already been launched
please.
From a former Soviet republic.
What?
Now listen to me.
No, you didn't.
The missiles are already in the air.
What'd you just call me?
We have to make a decision.
Excuse me?
Okay, I need to speak.
I'm gonna count to three. I know I'm gonna count to three. You're gonna be speaking to the
I need to speak
one,
to the president.
Two, three. Hold please.
Sorry. T, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Let me introduce Teresa Strasser with the news.
Yeah, let's do the news, T.
Ryan, what's the name of that team that always had to play the Globetrotters?
The Washington Generals.
That's how I feel right now.
Wow, that
somebody
is racist.
Had to play them.
That is racist.
Don't stop it.
That is racist.
Otherwise, right, they couldn't be funny. Somebody had to play against them.
That is so racist.
This is the first time that I really do. You're Hillary and I'm Obama. I see it now.
Speaking of Hillary and Obama.
Yes, T.
I just played you Hillary's commercial.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. Meadowlark Lemon over here.
Oh, stop it.
Is doing all the crazy tricks. And
hold on.
Can I contribute something?
Dag's got a bucket of confetti. Hold on. Look out. Look out.
I do have a copy of Hillary Clinton's new ad campaign. And she's really gone too far this time.
Okay.
Sure.
Do you really want a president throwing up gang signs on the front lawn of the White House? Vote for Hillary, 2008.
See, that's too much.
Barack Obama actually did respond to Hillary's ad, and here is that.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep, but there's a phone ringing in the White House. When that call gets answered, shouldn't the president be the one, the only one, who had judgment and courage to oppose the Iraq war from the start? In a dangerous world, it's judgment that matters.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
I'll go home and get your f***ing shine,
bro. Hillary keeps bringing up Iraq, and Barack keeps going, sweetie, you gave it the thumbs up 5 years ago. And you know what it's like with Hillary in Iraq? It's like, I know everyone has that family member that owes them money. And they know it, and you know it, but you don't want to bring it up, and they sure as hell don't want to bring it up. But it's like you go out to lunch, and they slide the check over, and you go, hey, man, why don't we split? And they go, why? What's the matter? Your wallet don't leave your pants? And you're like, well, now that you bring it up, what about the 10 grand I lent you? And you think to yourself, why would that person put themselves in a position where this keeps coming up knowing they owe me money? Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm not going to bring it up. They shouldn't bring it up. I feel like Hillary does a lot of bringing up, and then Barack, each time she brings it up, just throws it right back in her face.
Yeah. Hey, Teresa, who are you voting for? Have you made any thoughts? I know it's a private decision. I just wondered.
She's voting for Barbara Streisand this year in a write-in ballot.
Wow.
Yes.
I think she'd do a great job with FEMA.
How about your wife?
Well, you know, same-sex marriage isn't allowed here in California.
Yeah.
Although I'd like it to be.
And I don't think women can vote either, so that's two strikes.
But you know what are allowed? Real diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
No, and I totally agree with you. For you to have something shiny and pretty on your finger is well worth funding bloody civil wars
and hurting children. You can't tell a brother not to wear a diamond or fur, by the way.
Come on, what else is going to be outlawed? Rims? Come on, rims.
They put diamonds on their rim.
Come on, man.
When's a brother going to come out with a fur rim? That's the real question.
Wait,
with
diamonds on it.
Oh, yes, write that down. Dub is coming out with a mink rim.
Yeah.
Well, here's the latest controversy about Barack Obama. Back in 2005, he purchased land.
Cut off her mic.
Mm-hmm. He purchased land from a now indicted political fundraiser named Tony Rezko, who is facing charges of attempted extortion, money laundering, and fraud. Here's how Barack Obama responds. On Good Morning America.
I think the bottom line question for voters on this issue might be, you call yourself a reformer, you talk about your judgment, and yet how could you enter into this transaction with a longtime contributor who at that time was known to be under investigation for corruption? What does that say about your judgment?
Well, I think, understand, Terry, that this is a transaction that was completely above board, that was a standard real estate transaction. And I've already said that this was a mistake. And I've never made a claim that I've never made mistakes.
He's smart.
I know, but do you think this is this?
No, I'll tell you what Barack does. He comes out early and often and says, yeah, I tried blow when I was in college.
There you go.
Yeah, I made a mistake. I should have known better. And everyone goes, oh, he's human. And we give him a pass. And actually, we think it's refreshing. Everyone else starts arguing and backpedaling. They look guilty. And then later on, they get hit with more evidence. It gets people off the trail. Like you go, hey, I did blow once when I was in college, and everyone goes, oh, all right, well, mission over. We no longer have to try to find people that did drugs with Barack Obama. He just admitted it, and we all move forward. And as a matter of fact, scored points, wasn't hurt by it because of his because he was being candid about it.
Well, let me ask you something, Teresa. Like, if I were, we were dating, you know, and if I were the kind of guy that said, look, hold on, you know, put your clothes back on. I got a little problem I need to talk to you about.
Okay.
Well, how would that be like, well, this is a good guy? Or, you know.
You mean if you wanted to
like
talk
if we're,
to
no, if we're like we're dating, you know, and then before we were intimate, you know, I just got to tell you about my medical past. You know,
I see.
Few, you know, I have a little problem.
Right.
Little
then
polyp,
I would think.
A little polyp.
I see. Mm-hmm. If you were being very full disclosure about your medical condition before. Yeah. I would think more highly of you.
Really? I have a third testicle, say. You know, it's not it's not contagious. Not, you know.
That might be better for me, considering how many years my uterus has seen.
Oh, stop it. You know what? You know what?
See, now I have to attack myself to stop you.
I'm trying to,
I try to do it before you do it.
I'm looking at the guys. Am I wrong here?
No.
Was I snoring? Guys in the booth. You know,
I anticipated the old joke.
Did I attack her?
I anticipated it, though.
They listen to Mark and Brian,
by
the
way. No, but this is what I'm saying. I come at her honestly, and you can't take it. You can't take real love, Teresa.
We had our moment, Dad.
Yeah, but was I snoring? Guys, back me up. Was I snoring? No.
All right, I did snore.
We had our moment.
I can't.
You walked away.
Next story, team.
All right, go ahead.
On to sports news. Brett Favre will not return for a 17th season in the NFL.
What?
Yes. Ooh, stopped you from snoring. Mm-hmm. Green Bay Packers general manager Ted Thompson released a statement on the team's website confirming Favre has decided to call it a career. The 9-time Pro Bowler tossed for 4,155 yards with 28 touchdowns and 15 interceptions while leading the pack to a 13-3 record and a spot in the NFC Championship game last year. The 7-time All-Pro also was named the FedEx Air Player of the Year and the Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year for his efforts last season.
Well, he's not he's like 37, maybe 38.
Wow. 38.
He's not going to do any better than he did last year, and it's going to be great because he's going to have a press conference, and I love to watch hillbillies cry.
You think he's going to cry?
Oh, he's going to cry when he starts talking about how much he loved the game.
And do it. How would he sound?
He's going to do that. He's going to do that thing where he starts off straight, and then he'll get to his family, and he'll go, I want to thank the Green Bay Packer organization. I want to thank the owner, Mike Mularkey. I also want to thank, it'll be real straight at the beginning, my teammates. I want to thank the countless fans. And I'd like my wife. That'll do that. Give me a minute. that give me a minute thing. I want to thank my wife. It's not an easy role to be. And then he'll go, thank you, and he'll walk off stage because athletes can't stand to have people watch him cry. Now, see, unless you're T.O. T.O. doesn't mind. He's like a black woman at church. He'll fall to pieces. He doesn't care.
That's my team, man.
He doesn't care.
That's my team. Do you guys remember, was it Mike Schmidt, the baseball player?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was the greatest retirement speech ever. He cried like
I love
bitch.
It.
Third baseman, first baseman?
Yeah, for the Phillies.
Third baseman for the Phillies. You got to get that.
Played the hot corner.
Oh, there's no. He cried for about a good 7 minutes.
Yeah, and the harder the ass the guy was, the more crying they do when they retire and they're talking about how loving the game. Listen, you'd be crying too if someone paid you $8 million a year to play a sport you would have done for free on the weekends for 4 months out of the year, and now instead of traveling around and banging groupies, you have to go home to your farm and have sex with the same woman for the rest of your life.
38-year-old Favre was originally drafted by the Atlanta Falcons in the second round of the 91 draft. He guided the Packers to a 35-21 win.
Favre, by the way, I don't know what Favre was doing, but he was shooting a commercial on the lot when we were doing the man show. Oh, he was looking to get some numbers from Juggies.
Ooh. Oh, really?
Oh, yes, he was.
Hold on, maybe
interesting.
Not.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I think we got his number, and I think Jimmy's cousin Sal called it as well. Yeah.
Those Juggies were awesome.
He's a family man, but he travels, and he's an athlete.
I've got some good news. Yeah, you go ahead.
By the way, is Daniel Kellison is getting married, right?
Yes.
I just want to do a public plea. Daniel, I don't know if you listen to the show. This is David Alan Greer, but I told my wifey about this and my daughter.
He's a friend of ours.
I got to come to that bachelor party because I think this is going to be the greatest bachelor party. I went to Eddie Murphy's, so not a lot happened there.
Wow.
I haven't really gone to that wild bachelor party, and I'm just a black guy.
I can tell you... I have been to bachelor parties that Daniel Kellison has planned.
Adam, I just want to finish.
You need
I'm
a
saying.
Passport. They do not take place in
I
this
didn't
country.
I didn't come here to cry.
You understand?
I've done some awful things in my career. I snort with Teresa with Teletubbies.
Zag, you went in on that list. You're in.
I would like to go to this bachelor party. Daniel Kellison, I will be the best bachelor party attendee ever in the history of the world.
You know why I want you to go?
Why?
I want someone to snore when I'm getting a lap dance. Yeah. Hey, everybody. We got a little In Living Color in the house. Look, it's David Alan Greer. There, Sherry.
Give him two snaps up with a twist.
Grinchy Grin and drop your linen tag in the house. He's a somnambulist, everybody. Watch out. He'll nod off on your ass. Jade, give him a hell of a lap dance, and this guy will meet the Sandman in a couple of minutes. Hey, if he falls asleep, let's take his ATM card and run it up. Hey, Evanoa, buddy, that's not the guy you tip in the bathroom. That's David Alan Greer, everybody. I know he's your only brother in the club, but please, don't tip him for a minute. Jade, stage four.
Yes, that and TMZ are the reason why I have not left my house since that last.
I'll tell you a little flair and a little flavor. I was at the Spearman Rhino last weekend on Thursday.
Really?
I went in and decided I usually never establish eye contact with the dude who's manning the sink and the Purell because I want to save my dollar, and then I go out on the stage and make it rain. Which is the funny. Like I said, it's the weirdest kind of cheapness in the world. I just paid $115 for a mini bottle of champagne to get some prostitute who didn't even, by the way, drink it, and then another $300 on lap dances, yet I will not wash my hands leaving the bathroom because I don't want to give the poor guy a dollar.
The guy scrubs your hands for you. You're like, nah.
Yes, he does.
This guy had it down to a science. He had his soap in a spray bottle.
Same trip.
He hit me with the squirt bottle like a homeless guy hits your windshield. So I came out of the head. He hit me with the squirt. And then you know what he did with the, Brian, did he do this? The paper towel. He spun it like a flying zombie. He threw it like a master magician was tossing a card. And it hovered over my hand. Like, he literally went, boom, and he spun it. And it hovered over my hand and then landed on it.
Like you get served.
Wow. I was
like,
served.
Like you got served some
papers. It was the best bathroom strip club experience second best. One time I went in with Kim when we didn't come out for an hour.
I got an idea.
In my life, yes.
I got an idea. Mm. Do you watch that show where the two nerdy guys prove or disprove stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mythbusters.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now wait, but here's where I'm going.
I watched Hyman Busters, which is on Playboy the night.
You
had just
me
after
Hyman.
That.
You had me No, but there's this guy who throws cards, you know, one of those dudes who's one of the...
Yeah, he could throw a card and stick it in a cork or
board.
Exactly. So, my point is, could you throw a card and stick it in someone's neck, severing their jugular and dying?
I think they tried it on Mythbusters. Yes.
Did they really? Yeah. Did it work?
I think they disproved
it. They were able
it.
To chop certain things, but you couldn't, like, chop a dude's hand off.
It couldn't hurt
but could
anybody.
But could you stick someone in their neck and make them bleed to death?
I suppose if they weren't able to remove the car.
I'm old-fashioned. I just stab people.
We all have chubbies. Teresa's over here really wishes. Like, if I weren't a lady,
she's
I'd be
bored off
right
her
now.
Ass.
This dag is, I
you
hate
you thought
him.
Her people hated black people before this show. Gosh, it is off the charts now. All right, we need to take a break. T?
You know what? I'm going to do something. Teresa, if you want me to leave right now, I'll leave so you have the last half an hour to yourself and you won't have me to kick around anymore. You want me to do that?
She wants you
no,
to
I'm
leave.
Gonna go.
Yeah.
I'm gonna,
no,
I'm
I'd
out.
Like you to
I'm
stay.
I'm out.
David Alan Greer is going to stay
don't
around.
Don't put it on me. You have somewhere
he's
to go.
He's going to answer more poignant questions about throwing cards.
I don't have anything else.
Yeah, no, David, I'm glad. That was very interesting about the cards.
That
was fascinating. Could you do another 20 minutes on an episode of Mythbusters that you never saw? I would enjoy
that. I'm sorry, I'm not as fascinating as Danny Bonaduce.
To be fair, he didn't know the name of the show.
Do another tight 20 on a show right, you've never
why
seen.
Why don't you
his
read
name,
your
you
news?
Know. I tried.
Well, why don't you do it now, crybaby?
Dag, we're out of time. Dag is going to be at the Jacksonville, Florida. That's his punishment. Really, he'll have his comeuppance in Florida this Thursday through Sunday at the Comedy Zone. Do you sleep in a cot behind the... behind the comedy place, or they put you up at a hotel?
Office. I mean, I stay in the condo.
Dag, hang out. Rest of the news.
And I'm telling next. You.
And I'm listening to the Adam Carolla Show just like you for only one reason. Because it's funny.
Thanks,
we're driving
Larry.
To Florida.
Love that, Larry Miller.
Very funny.
David Alan Greer, oftentimes called the Black Larry Miller.
Oh.
In studio, going to be in Jacksonville at the Comedy Zone Thursday through Sunday. T?
Actually, through Saturday. And we're going to have a time. But let's give it over to Teresa Strasser. You're so wonderful.
Rest of the news, sweetie Petey.
Go ahead.
As we were just discussing, Brett Favre retired after 17 seasons in the NFL.
Yeah.
You guys were mentioning that you enjoy when athletes cry at press conferences.
I do.
So I got a little special treat for you.
What do you
Here
have?
Is T.O. after that loss to Green Bay.
Thank you. You can talk about the vacation, and if you do that, it's really unfair. It's really unfair. It's my team. It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost as a team.
You know why I like crying? Because, you know, when dudes start crying, it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Like, I come up, you're like, look, I stole $10 from you, Adam. And you know, I will apologize because, you know, sometimes... We landed on the moon, man. Tomato as a root, you know what I mean?
I know. Your brain shuts off.
Corvette can't make it a 60 miles in 2 seconds, man.
The largest mammal is the blue whale.
You're like, dude, what?
I know. It's your brain shuts off when you're either crying or you get super angry. Because even guys, and I have a hung like an auctioneer, but when I get super, super angry, all I can think is the F word.
Oh, yeah.
So you get into that thing where you're like, I don't give an effing effer if you effing, you mother effers effing, try to F with my F setting. You know what I mean? Like, we super angry means all of a sudden you lose the capacity to think, but crying is even better.
It's my daughter, when she cries, you know, she cries. See, that's all she does now. She
no sense at all.
She just cries, you know. I let her cry a little bit, do my thing, but my wife, she tries to talk to her. Honey, is all right? Is the pamper too tight? Did you take a pee-pee? We're not trying to hurt you.
Do you just make the snoring sound?
How dare you?
Are you changing diapers, by
I'm
the way?
Changing diapers.
You man. Are.
I am, but she is a little girl, so I don't really do the proper
the
cleaning.
Wiping and stuff.
I wipe, but very generally. I don't want to get too specific.
I can't believe you didn't bring a picture. I bet she's so
I
cute.
I have them. I'll send you one. I'll send you
Could
one.
Could you email me one? Okay. Yeah.
You'll probably start snoring, you know.
No, I love babies. All right, Tony.
Let me ask you something. Yeah. Can I ask you really quick? I know you want to have kids. Have you decided where you're going to purchase the child?
Indonesia.
Indonesia, China. Little girls there, cute. Tony Romo is still in the league. He won the Cosmopolitan Fun Fearless Male Award.
Fearless?
Fun Fearless Male Award, which he has also shared with John Mayer and Dane Cook. Here is Tony Romo on that.
Dane Cook, John Mayer, and a lot of different guys, and me, and I'm like, if you date Jessica Simpson, I guess you get to be one. So.
That is right.
I have... Well, I reached my saturation level on Dane Cook about 6 months ago. I'm now going to add John Mayer to that list. I'm sorry. He bothers me. And I don't know why he bothers me. And maybe it's because he thinks he's the coolest guy on the planet or
why
something.
Would he think that? Why would
he just because he plays great blues guitar, nails every chick who moves.
He's an excellent guitar player, and the songs he writes are good, yet somehow I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm bothered by him.
Why do people beat up on Dane Cook? I've known him for a long time. We're not the best of friends, but he's a great guy. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice guy. What? What did he do?
Well, two things.
Okay.
I did Crank Yankers with him many years ago.
But didn't you do it more than once?
With him?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Back before he was Dane Cook, he was just a comedian. And we did, and I used to be in charge of some of the sessions.
I would know that for the last four seasons.
Oh, shut up.
You never even showed up.
I was yelling at you to throw up every time we did it. That's what would happen.
All right,
Dane, okay, two quick stories. Dane came walking in, and Dane was wearing a Yankees cap. And one of the writers said, "You're from Boston, aren't you?" And he said, "That's right." And he said, "You're a Boston boy and you're wearing a Yankees cap?" And he said, "Uh-huh." And he said, "Why?" And he said, "Don't worry about it." And he walked out of the room. He wasn't joking. He provided no answer. Now, okay,
yeah,
fine.
But was he mad? Was he so angry?
He was being a little bit of a,
but wait a minute,
douchebag
dick,
move.
But he was so angry that I'm not going to perform now?
No, he was fine. He came and performed. Then a little bit later on, maybe the same writer leaned over and ripped a huge fart in a small recording studio and everyone laughed hysterically, and Dane Cook went, "Dude, what's up?" And it's like, "Hey, wow, farted. That's pretty funny." And he's funny.
Yeah, but so that's now you want to roll.
He didn't like the farting. Then
oh my God, do you have another one? Am I that bad a judge of character?
After almost every crank call, he would announce to the room he doesn't know where he gets it.
Oh, shut up.
Yes.
But let me ask you this.
And then,
honestly, was
touched
he one
by
of
the hand
best?
Of God.
Was he one of the best?
He was good at it. No,
well,
you know.
What was his character? I don't remember.
He did a guy who was confined to a wheelchair. He did a guy who hosted a game show. He did a few good characters on the show. No, you were the best.
No, I don't, I'm not asking that.
But
was he one of your funniest?
He was definitely one of the better ones who came in there.
Listen,
that's for sure.
I will tell you, my favorite one that I did was the Christmas Carols.
Well, we weren't asking you what your favorite one was.
I don't know
where
I got it.
We were talking about the Dane Cook.
Because that's not funny.
And then,
yes, I'm wearing a Yankee hat.
When I interviewed him once, yes, I said to him, "If you weren't doing stand-up, what would you be doing?" And he said, "I don't know, but I can tell you this, I'd be the funniest MF-er at the company picnic." And I thought, wow.
I don't think we're talking about the same. The tall white man?
That would be an answer that a pompous ass would Curly. Give. And wow, that's where I got my impression.
I think he's a nice...
He's a nice guy.
You're thinking of Kevin Nealon.
That's right.
Is a nice guy who loves himself quite a bit.
Does he love himself more than I love me? Because I'm my biggest fan.
Well, that's impossible.
Well, maybe you guys can unite in your distaste for John Mayer. He is the super secret guest guitarist on Fall Out Boy's new cover. This is a cover of Michael Jackson's Beat It. John Mayer on guitar.
Oh, now he loves himself some John Mayer, too. You know what I would like? I'd like to get Dane and John together. They could talk about winning their Interesting Man of the Year award, and you could snore in between them.
I am sick of, like, white dudes doing, like, black songs.
That's right.
Cheek, especially the rap ones. Hip hop, the beat don't stop.
No, better when the two live Jews do it.
Yeah, I didn't know Dane was that. He's that bad?
Well, let's put it this way. It takes a lot of self-confidence to make it in this business, and Dane has a lot of that.
Yeah, but remember when you said, when I was on Kimmel and I went on to the Lakers game, and you came back and you're like, "Dak, I got kind of some bad reports about you from the writers." And remember you had that really tearful thing, and you said the writer said I was a real jerk.
Yeah.
And how you had to... Well, that's the same story, isn't it?
Well, no, yeah, you're an ass.
No,
you were an ass to the writers.
Listen, let me tell you.
He
something.
Got drunk and he was being an ass.
I wasn't drunk. But here's what happened. The request came. They said, "Will you do a 5-minute interview before the game? We'll get you. I swear to you, we'll get you in your seat and we'll get it out of the way."
They threw a remote to the Lakers game.
But wait a minute. I got there. I was with somebody on a date. I had better seats than they were going to give me. They bring me out. I missed half the game. They wanted to put me in a uniform, keep me in the booth doing some bit that I didn't know anything about, that was never told to me, and this is why they got
Malcolm
mad.
Malcolm Jamal Warner, too.
No, this is why they got mad. I was like, dude, come on, man.
All I knew is when everyone came back, they said, "Your boy's an ass."
Yeah,
and I said,
really, they were really upset.
Oh, he was your boy now?
Yeah, right. At that point, yeah.
I think it was a little heavy.
And I said, "Don't call my boy. I barely know the dude."
Well, I'm Teresa Strasser. I don't know where I get it, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser.
Hi, boy.
All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Dag, you don't mind being called boy over and over again,
do you? I'm a man, brother.
Take a quick break.
I am a man.
Back. Hi, boy.
To wrap it up now.
And when I become president, I've come to...
Well, thanks, old inside, but black don't crack, baby.
Listen, Adam, are you going to call me and be a friend?
Yes. Or
are you
just, wow. I'll have my assistant call you. Patty Stanger, I want to thank her for coming in here today.
She is a pistol.
The millionaire matchmaker tonight.
You are going to hell.
10 p.m. on Bravo. David Alan Greer.
Thanks a lot, man. I wish, you know, you guys don't have me in enough. I wish I could come in more. Oh, wow.
Bingo. You got me.
Comedy Zone, Thursday through Sunday, it says
Saturday.
Here. All right. I'd like you to stay for another day. You can stay out of California until at least
I'm
the weekend's
a
over.
3 a.m. flight out of Jacksonville.
Good night. Take me to the airport.
Jacksonville, Florida. Free to HD at AdamCarolla.com is where you go for the replay all day. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying mahalo. Hi, hello, hi. May I perform oral on you?